Tokyo, Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute past the hour, and we begin this brand new Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to join the merrymakers in the multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. I'm going there right now. Hey, there I am. In a minute. Java. Hey, there we are. Yep. And it being Thorn in the Side Thursday. Folks who will be showing up presently right now waiting for you are longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators Lottie and Man Cave, otherwise known as Sparky, who, being a third stage field navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. Yes. You can hop on over if you've never been there before and pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you'll be part of the merriment, which will begin shortly. Yes. As noted, is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and the special thanks going out to subscriber Sal, who, thank you, Sal, managed to turn our what would have been an ugly little deficit into a simple $60 deficit. We've got $260 to raise this evening. That's what, we try to raise $200 every evening. We came up about $60 short, so 26 folks at 10 bucks. Hey! How about 26 new subscribers at $10 a piece? Huh? Here's an idea. Yeah, we had a note on subscriptions, as a matter of fact. Got a note from Albert. Mm-hmm. And he said, regarding your current campaign to get 400 subscribers at 10 bucks a month, I started doing that earlier this year without taking an official pledge. I had not browsed deeply enough in the Horn website to see a recurring contribution as an option, so I just started doing it on my own through PayPal. My thought back then was that enough monthly contributors could almost solve your funding problems. I saw no need to belabor what I considered to be the obvious, but figured that someone might see the potential and make the funding a subscription base into an official campaign. I can only ask what took so long. Well, it didn't take so long. We tried this a few years ago, and that's... And then we went to, and but we're trying it again based on Joan's suggestion. Al says, I'm going to continue my monthly $10 contribution as long as there's a program. If it helps, please consider this to be an official pledge to subscribe. I've been contributing to Mike Malloy since before Air America and latched onto the Horn from that. I stopped all newspapers and cable years ago. Your program has become a mainstay like Mike's. I would miss them if they were gone, hence the contribution. Regarding the name, I kind of cringe when I hear what is being used so far, to wit, you know, the 400 Club. And I understand, because it kind of makes me a little bit, too. Al says, what has a certain ring and is applicable to my ears is the Head On 400. Ooh, yeah. The Head On 400, the Horn 400. That is certainly better than the 400 Club, at least until there's a better choice. And Al notes he listens via the feed at whiterosesociety.org and not live. Well, then hopefully you will hear this by the time you download the next program. And I upload each program right after the evening closes. Right, right. So, anyway, and remember, everybody gets a bumper sticker. Some people get two. But just it's real easy. All you got to do is click on contribute, and that will open up a new tab. I'm doing it now just to walk through it. So you go to contribute and waiting, right? Still waiting. Waiting more. You know, I tried this before air just to make sure that we could best laid plans. It's still waiting anyway. Anyway. But if you can just you can pick the amount and then make this a recurring monthly contribution and then fill out the data and the stuff and never mind what you do over at Cogswell Cogs or Spacely Space Sprockets, and away you go. This is a little disturbing, however. Sorry, you didn't need to hear the sneeze. Anyway, it's Thorn in the Side Thursday. We need to raise $260, and hopefully I'll get to shut up about that in fairly short order. In case you are wondering, one of my favorite sources here, because they do such an excellent job, and I mention them from time to time, that I don't even know how they do it, because it involves sitting there and listening to these bizarre human beings. I couldn't do it for a day, what they do over at rightwingwatch.org. No. Not even. It just couldn't. But they managed to somehow. For some reason the website's not coming up. That is not a good sign. That might explain things. So, no, they do magnificent work, and I saw a post today over there that said, lo and behold, their YouTube account has been suspended because of a copyright violation claim. Guess who made it? Who were we talking about? Just Monday and Tuesday. Why, yes, Kevin Swanson. The guy who wants to execute people for how they love each other. The guy who's angry at a cartoon character. The guy who says that if his son was to be gay and get married, he would sit in front of the church, assuming it was done in a church, in sackcloth and wipe himself with literally bovine fecal material. That's not another way of not saying, bullshit. But, no, he says he would. He would rub cow dung all over himself. And I guess all over the sackcloth. So, lo and behold, even though he hasn't a legal leg to stand on, he doesn't like the fact that under the fair use doctrine, the people at Right Wing Watch are letting the world know the crazy, absolutely misbegotten, chase this guy down with a butterfly net and put a Thorazine dart in his neck sort of stuff that he says. And you would think that YouTube would have a little more sense, but... Marty, you got to pay attention, buddy. He's mad at Ilsa from Frozen. And Let It Go is a satanic anthem. That was a central feature from Moran Monday. Yes. So, anyway, Kevin Swanson's National Liberties Religious Liberties Conference, you heard it here, and they... Oh, come on, Kevin. Really. You miserable little pissant. Sue me! Do it! Because, see, in truth is an absolute defense. And there is ostensibly still a First Amendment in this country that one hopes, even though I've said otherwise, one hopes is something more than a life support system for the gospel sharps like Kevin Swanson. Yeah, one hopes. But in the meantime, they report it's still business as usual at Right Wing Watch, and they'll be getting back to the business of posting this miserable, bilious filth so that the world can see it for themselves. Well, they took me out of context. No, dumbass, they posted 5 full minutes of you in context. What do you want? But just kind of sending some good vibes out to the folks at rightwingwatch.org, which is a project of the People for the American Way, who do an excellent job of shining a spotlight on just how sick and twisted and bizarre and hate-filled and miserable and quite often just plain weird the evangelical fundamentalists are. Mm-hmm. But this is a thing. White wingers know that they can go, if they go and they whine enough to YouTube, that YouTube will pull an account or suspend an account just based on algorithms and numbers of complaints. So in other words, Kevin Swanson has spammed YouTube with bogus copyright claims in order to keep people from knowing exactly how nasty he is. And all you got to do is, I mean, you heard it and heard how nasty he is. To see it in the context of the video, oh my God. I mean, there's a certain... Because the goddess never takes her eye off of any of us, and not a whoopee cushion gets squished, but what she notices it. You just want to sing a little song to Kevin Swanson, let it go, let it go. Yeah, and I'm not going to sing anymore because we hate it when I sing on the program, right? Let's see. I've got a request in from Tim from L.A. Sparky, just got this from Tim. Bob-san, yes, Tim-san. Agent Fred, effing with the horn again. Can you get Sparky to give me the link for the chat room so I can chat? Tim needs the key to the back door there. It's under the mat. Thanks, Sparky. Thank you very kindly. Very strange, very strange. But so Tim will be along in the chat room in a little bit. But I wanted you to know that rightwingwatch.org is under attack. Why can't Kevin Swanson just take the advice of his savior and forgive them? Huh? Isn't that how it's supposed to work? I don't like you putting clips up about me. Then forgive us. Oh, I miss Bill Hicks. I do indeed. The prophet Bill Hicks. Peace be upon him. By the way, we have made 2 nights now. On Carol Baker's Ixnay on the Hey challenge. We've made it 2 nights, Tuesday and Wednesday, without mentioning the little Austrian's name. And there's another challenge on the table this evening. We've got to get another three hours without mentioning him, and that's another $20. Cool how that works. Thank you, Carol. Thank you. And I think we can do it. I really, really do. But just because Right Wing Watch is sort of on the bench at the moment doesn't mean that there's not plenty of stuff to talk about. And actually, in the course of the program last night, I wanted to find time to get back to the issue of what's going on at the University of Missouri, otherwise known as Mizzou. Because while Kevin Swanson was stomping around talking about how he would rub himself, give himself a poop massage, you know, really, worst wedding guest ever. While he was doing that, people in and around the University of Missouri were saying things like, "I'm going," because this went out on a web platform called Yik Yak. White guy, of course, not a student at the University of Missouri, said, "I'm going to get my freedom protector, and I'm going to shoot every black person I see." Causing no small amount of consternation on the campus of said university. Now, of course, that threat was not terrorism, mind you, because it was not perpetrated by someone named Muhammad or Ahmed or Abdullah or Abu or... No. If Jimmy Jeff Bubba Joe says he's going to get a gun and start killing people, well, that's, you know, he's just overwrought. You get it? Sure. Overwrought. And you may recall from the discussion that we had with Carol on Monday that the genesis of some of the unrest, some but not all, because there is apparently a pervasive atmosphere of racism on the University of Missouri campus. But one of the events that precipitated much of the unrest was the painting of a swastika. Oh, that's mighty close to the challenge. But no, the painting of a swastika on the wall of a dormitory restroom, you know, in feces. And then feces were also left by the door, presumably for someone to step in. Well, apparently now any controversial subject is going to have a contingent of people in this country who will simply hop up and down and swear that it never, ever happened. A witness, for instance, something that showed up in my email the other day, and I was saving it for Thorn in the Side Thursday. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. I don't think I said that. There, that's out of the way. Nobody reminded me. Mike Palasek sent this around. And the subject line was, "New book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook." And there's nothing on there from Mike Palasek. Says, "Can you believe this?" No. "Sandy Hook, a FEMA drill to promote gun control. What was by James Fetzer, PhD. What was widely reported as a school massacre in which 20 children and 6 adults were shot to death by a young man named," scare quotes, "Adam Lanza," close quotes, don't know why, "has been exposed to have been a FEMA drill to promote gun control where no one died, as even officials in the Department of Education have acknowledged to an L.A. school safety expert." You want to bet that's a little tenuous? I'll bet that's a lot tenuous. "These are the stunning findings of a dozen experts." Certainly do throw that word expert around a lot, don't they? "Who've been investigating the event for the past 3 years, whose research has now appeared in a new book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. The book runs 425 pages with massive detailed documentation and extensive photographic proof. Best viewed with your seeing stones while looking into a hat." "The contributors include 6 former or current professors, one of whom is also a JD with multiple books, and 6 other experts, including an Australian who was leaked an enormous set of photographs documenting the hoax, which leaves no room for doubt that this was an elaborate hoax to promote a political agenda. And on and on and on. And you know, when I saw this thing, I opened it. It's my fault. But it just made me ill. But it reminded me, and as I was again reminded with the upcoming story, that there is now in this country, on any given issue, a subset of people who will simply say, well, never mind, that didn't even happen. Climate change? Not happening. We're getting cooler, not warmer, even though all, warmest summer on record, warmest year on record, year after year after year. Didn't happen. Right? And, of course, there's 9/11 truth. We're not going to get into that. And there's, well, you get the gist of it. And for me, culturally, the question is, can any nation, has any nation, throughout history, which could not reach consensus on reality itself, been able to long survive? I don't ask that facetiously. I ask that in all seriousness. If a nation can see something happen and a noisy, significant group of idiots say, well, it's just your eyes lying to you and your ears. Jack in Shreveport says, with regard to the Sandy Hook book, let the family members of people killed know. That should take care of it. No, because these freaks go and, what was it, a year ago? They were dedicating a series of playgrounds named in memory of the victims of Sandy Hook, and some of these goons went and vandalized one of them. Marty says, and they wonder why, when I still question the official story of 9/11, I dropped out of the movement. Well, precisely. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we know everything about September 11th. We don't. Hell's bells, we don't know everything about the Lincoln assassination. We certainly don't know everything about the Kennedy assassination. And in every case, there were enough screw-ups to make sure that people were left with lingering doubts. But consider the guy who murdered a woman on camera, and the Alex Jones people around hollering, false flag, false flag. They're trying to get our guns. I mean, when people cannot agree on reality, how are we supposed to get anything done? Carol just asked me, do we really need to have the bloodied corpses of the babies dragged through the streets to make these wits get that people died? No, that ain't enough. Nothing is ever enough. Those aren't real corpses. Those were children that died the natural causes in the right. I mean, as Marty points out, there's a woman who wrote a book about her son who was killed at Sandy Hook, and people typing in all caps write to her saying, "You didn't have a son. No one died." What happens to a country? And I reserve this line of inquiry for Thorn in the Side Thursday, because it really does generate a great big ow. You know, one of those. It's what thorns do. I mean, Irish Dave is so good at this stuff. He said, I expert guessed the victims of Sandy Hook FEMA drill were flown out of the country by Malaysian Airlines, one of the drill's co-sponsors. But there's no way to convince these people because they are so mired in their gunned-up paranoia. And, you know, has the NRA ever come out and, you know, the National Republican Rifle Association, have they ever come out and said, no, Sandy Hook really happened. I mean, you know, it's terrible, we're sorry, criminals. I don't recall. I don't, maybe they did. Maybe I missed it. I'm sure one of you will tell me if they did. But it lies at the heart of all of these things. Oh, Agenda 21 is going to take our guns and leave us at the tender mercies of FEMA and the Common Corps when the blue helmeted UN troops come across the dry parts of the Rio Grande to take our guns. It's always take our guns at the end as the motive. And so now, the latest. As Ron and Raleigh knows, some people work in oils, some people work in watercolors, some people work in tempera, others prefer to work in feces. Kind of monochromatic, but it gets the point across, you know, especially when the point is a swastika. Ecce homo. On the one hand, the police report is out there and available for viewing on the interweb tubes, the real police report of what happened in the dormitory at the University of Missouri. Police people, police officers really came in, and you know, nobody got killed or tasered or stomped or anything. They came in and they documented in the form of a police report the fecal swastika on the wall of the dormitory. A detective with the University of Missouri Police by the name of Detective Baker, presumably no relation to the one and only Queen of the Minions, said in a report, in room 3175, I noticed there was a swastika drawn on the wall by someone using feces. There was also feces on the floor located by the entryway to the restroom. It's a cop. I mean, that's not one of those rabble rousing outside agitating wrong colored students that, well, you know, I mean, let them go to school and everything and look what's happened, right? Because that too is a subtext to all of this filth, all of this garbage. But there it is in the report. The report's a public record. So enter Sean Davis of a website called The Federalist, and oddly enough, it was Monday when I first saw anything published at The Federalist, and lo and behold, it was about the Mizzou story. In that case, it was someone saying, well, you know, what if we can't control these out-of-control black people? You know, we just need to burn the universities to the ground, figuratively, of course. But lo and behold, I guess we're going to be hearing more from this gang of weirdos. As of Tuesday, Sean Davis published a piece over there at that website entitled, Was the Poop Swastika Incident at Mizzou a Giant Hoax? Question mark? Something stinks at the University of Missouri. See what you did there. Yeah. Not very clever. A reported incident of vandalism at Mizzou sparked university-wide protests, a boycott by the school's 4-5 football team. You know, because putting the record in there is important. I mean, the boycott would have been more. It would have meant something if they were like, you know, 9-0 or 8-1 or 7-2, the, you know, school's 4-5 football team, and eventually the resignation of the university's president and chancellor. Now get this. Oh, by the way, Hockey Puck is at your leisure. There's only one problem. No evidence of the alleged incident in which a poop swastika on the wall of a dormitory restroom was reported has ever been made publicly available. Except in the police report. I added that part. Did this incident occur as reported, or was it an immaculate defecation? Oh, they do think they're clever over there, don't they? That formed the foundation of an unimaginable deception. Poop swastika truth! Poop swastika was reported at approximately 2 a.m. on October 24th, 2015. Yada, 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 yada. The Federalist also attempted to contact Christian Basie, the associate director of the University of Missouri News Bureau, who previously told the Columbia Missourian on October 30th that the incident had been immediately reported to Mizzou police. But Basie did not respond to requests for comment prior to the publication of this article. Calls to the University of Missouri Police Department also failed to yield any evidence of the poopstica. On and on and on and on. So then finally they acknowledge that the police report is out. But even though the report's out and obtained by the Daily Caller, despite repeated requests from the Federalist for the document and information contained within it, the University of Missouri still has not provided to the Federalist it or any other documents requested pursuant to the state's open records laws. Maybe that's because it's easily obtained now. Maybe that's because nobody knows who the Federalist is or what it is. Or, I mean, and when you're publishing crap like this, I use the word deliberately, you know, maybe you're not a legitimate news organization. Update 2, on Thursday afternoon, pursuant to a public records request previously filed by the Federalist, the University of Missouri released photos of the incident. Why did it take so long to release photos of the evidence? Then and that was Sean Davis. Then there's the National Review, and then there's Newsbusters, and then there's that website. And you know, where are the pictures? No, this isn't real. And then, of course, there's that website that rhymes with the words light and fart. And Milo Yiannopoulos said, no evidence has yet surfaced that a Nazi symbol made of human feces was left on campus at Missouri. Less still, that it was a racially charged statement. Oh, it goes on and on and on. But curiously, all of these people who have become poop truthers, I mean, what else do we call them? They're all right-wingers. Why is that? Is it only the hardcore white wing in America that understand? Yes, it is. Which, of course, understands the grave dangers our country faces. Merca! The greatest country in the world on earth, now, today, forever, indivisible, under God. Right. Mm-hmm. So, it, but no, that's kind of an indication of a pathological problem, isn't it? If everybody else is wrong, but some strange little minority of paranoids is right, yeah, I know. And Gerald is correct in his note. He says, yeah, this is the equivalent of sticking your fingers in your ears. Okay, there's photos. Okay, there's a police report. This is the equivalent of sticking your fingers in your ears and repeatedly saying, no, 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 I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. No, 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 no. Gerald also pointing out a poop swastika? Really? It's not very original. Goat blood would have been my first choice. Oh, but Gerald, you're creative, and you earn one of those unfairly high wages. Mm-hmm. But there's denial all over the place. But meanwhile, because people are upset about it, and frankly, that is an upsetting symbol. And it was followed up, again, as noted, by a guy who lives about 10 miles from Hooterville, I'm told, who said he was going to go to Mizzou and just start shooting black people because it's not wrong if you shoot a black person. I mean, this is getting said in 2015, you know, the second half of the second decade of the 21st century. Amen! It's getting... Thankfully, the authorities did act appropriately and did take the threatener into custody. But some of this stuff is spreading. And spreading, and spreading, and spreading. One of the country's most celebrated historically black institutions of higher learning is Howard University in Washington, D.C. And that institution is in a state of unrest now. After an announcement by the president of Howard University, namely Wayne A.I. Frederick, who sent word around the university, "We are aware," he wrote, "of the threat made against the university and its students, and are working with campus, local, and federal law enforcement on this serious matter. However, in an abundance of caution, the university has increased security on campus and at area metro stations." Why? Well, because a threat has been published against the entire student body of Howard University. A disgruntled white person took to an online forum, and then it was repeated all over social media. Repeating the threat, or I suppose extending the threat that was put in place at Mizzou. This is the text of the anonymous threat. I will warn you in advance that it contains vulgar words that I do not like to use. However, when it is in a journalistic context, I think the word should be used. If you differ, please tell me. I don't think there's any journalistic or social integrity served by beeping it out. And of course, we don't have to beep anything. This is the internet. We can say all kinds of stuff. Booger. Right. Seriously. Okay. So here's the post. Seriously, America, why are we still putting up with this shit? I mean, we might as well just bend over and let the niggers fuck us right in the ass. And meanwhile, they go around whining and complaining about everything as if there's something that's wrong in the world to fix. They're unhappy, no matter what. Whining is addicting to them. Good people like this guy have to suffer for it. The good people like this guy is the never had any business being the president of the university in the first place, former president of the University of Missouri. Wolf is his name. Good people like this guy have to suffer for it. And now the niggers at other college have to do the same thing, and the white people think it's a wonderful thing? Fuck that. What do they have to do? Join ISIS before people get it? I left MU yesterday because I couldn't put up with it anymore. I go home to Maryland, and what do I see? The same old shit. Turn on the news, and it's always the niggers causing trouble everywhere. So I've decided. Any niggers left at Howard University after 10 tomorrow will be the first to go. And any of those cheapskate niggers who try to get out of using the metro will regret that choice real fast. Oh, get out using the metro. Sure, the popo will take me down, but I'll go out a hero knowing I made the world better. I just hope at least someone else can see it too and continue the fight. They were too stupid to know what to do when they got freed. They're too stupid to know what to do now they got rights. Sometimes the best thing to do is put stupid out of its misery. After all, it's not murder if they're black. That's America. Students are being advised to report suspicious activity to the Howard University Department of Public Safety or the D.C. Metro Police Department. And see, it's not the unrest that's spreading. I don't care how many whiny-ass white people say that's what it is. It's not. What is spreading in this country is fear. You know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in the fourth decade of the 20th century, said, all we have to fear is fear itself. Well, he never met a teabagger. Granted, FDR had a cadre of the millionaire class who wanted to foment a coup to remove him from office. Yeah, really. Smedley Butler, they approached Smedley Butler to lead it, and instead, being a patriotic American, he dropped the dime on them. But he didn't have teabaggers. And the 1930s in America might have been a very challenging time, but it was not a time when people were carrying guns all over the place and pasty-faced, paranoid, doughy white people felt like they had to tuck a gun in their special Freedom Protecting purse to go to Walmart the day after Christmas, after which little Junior would blow away the Freedom Protecting mommy. It was not this country. It was not a country where a woman at Starbucks, you know, where they have the heathen red coffee cups, you know, just red like commies, meow, her purse falls on the floor and she winds up shooting the person that she was meeting for coffee, right? Yeah. We weren't like that then, but we are like that now. And it is not student unrest or civil unrest that is spreading in this country. It is fear. It is, in a word, terror that is spreading in this country. I mean, Jesus, just last week, I was asking the question of what would happen if pasty-faced, doughy, white old me walked into some civilized country's embassy and applied for asylum. Because I can't be safe in my own country because the freedom protectors out there are shooting first and asking questions later. Let alone the people who are too mentally unstable to have a gun but have firearms out the gazoo thanks to the National Republican Rifle Association. And that's me, a white guy, and I'm terrified. What if you're a person of color, painfully aware of the long history of terrorism that has stalked this country since before 1860? What if you are them? What if you are they? There was a time when we thought maybe the Klan had finally gone to ground, that the Knight Riders had finally been unhorsed. But they seem to be back. And they don't so much gather together in their hundreds or thousands with robes and sheets over their heads and burning crosses and American flags and Confederate flags and what have you. Instead, now they're all they are dispersed. They are attenuated, and they get their fury and they get their anger and they get their paranoia over the internet without ever having to leave mama's basement. What was it, 2 days ago? I think it was 2 days ago. We were talking about the three guys who were taken down from Virginia, who were trying to put together a plot to, again, start a race war in this country. Maybe I'm the one who needs the Thorazine dart in the neck. I don't know. But it feels pretty, I mean, we're coming into cold weather, but it feels pretty damned hot out there. It's like the entire country's become a bad suspense film where you're just waiting to see who gets shot. You don't have to wait very long. It happens one day here, another day there. And okay, so yeah, by all means, investigate the people who say it publicly. But it's the ones who say nothing and then go act on it. Those are the ones that scare the daylights out of me. And you know, and I know, that they are there. Well, you know what? All those kids at Howard, you know what they need to do? They need to quit going to college and become welders for Marco Rubio. Because America doesn't need... my God, the education you get at Howard, magnificent. what the, those young people of color, they don't need that. They don't need a college education. They need to learn how to sing some chanties and go down there and chop cotton after you know, Trump sends all the cotton choppers back to Mexico. Because that's part of it, too. I was thinking about that as well. All this talk in that godforsaken Republican pageant about how, yeah, illegal immigrants drive down wages. Bull! I absolutely will not believe that until I see an army of white folks lining up to apply for jobs, picking tomatoes and lettuce and then cutting celery. Because, see, in the wake of the Civil War, there was a determined effort, and that's where the Klan was born, to keep freed black people from asserting the rights of said freedom. Many fled north to discrimination in the North. But a lot of them, more than anything else, got off the plantation and got out of the forced agricultural labor business. This, in turn, created a vacuum, and guess who filled it? Mm-hmm. I mean, for a time, there were stories, I mean, grapes of wrath, all of that stuff. Some white people, poor whites, yes. Fleeing things like the Dust Bowl, yes. But in time, the nation's agricultural labor force was replaced by people, a different people of color, who could be similarly abused as things like the sharecropping system collapsed of their own weight. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. But now we have a political party whose dominant philosophy is that people need to stop wanting to be educated and instead need to become some sort of drudges, and not the wealthy Matt Drudge kind of drudge. Although I'm sure Matt Drudge would argue with equal fervor against any sort of increase in the minimum wage. It's not getting better in this country. It's getting worse. Had Hillary Clinton beaten Barack Obama in 2008, would it be the same as it is now? I tend to think yes, because what we would have had instead of 7 years of overt racism, I mean, even without Hillary Clinton in the White House, we got the whole legitimate rape, war on women thing. Can you imagine with her in the White House? Hey, what if it was Willard Romney getting inaugurated in January 2013? Would they be any calmer? Will these angry, terrified, paranoid white people settle down if we just give them back a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered white man in the White House again? Will they crawl back behind the baseboards where they generally live? I don't think so. They are, to twist a phrase, out, and they're proud. They're proud of their ignorance, they're proud of their racism, they're proud of their bigotry. They're proud of their hate. And more than anything else in the world, they are proud, proud, proud of their guns. Carol tells me, Kansas City Talk Radio is black people, get over yourselves 24/7. She says, I'm in hell. Carol adding, trust me, we wouldn't be talking about President Blackenstein. They'd be bitching about Vagzilla. But students of color, step up to stand up and say, this is frightening and we want an end to it. And suddenly they're the ones who need to sit down and shut up. Nobody's marching at Mizzou saying, kill Whitey. But people are all over the internet saying, it's not murder if they're black. Because you know what? There really was a time in this country where it wasn't. When a slave owner chose to kill one of his slaves, it wasn't murder at all. It wasn't even a homicide. Because remember, that slave was 3/5 of a human being, not 5/5. And everybody knows you can't have 3/5 of a murder. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate your sentiments. You said the N-word, says Tim. As the only person of color in the chat room right now, and you quoted the N-word, I have no issue as you attributed the quote to someone else. I mean, we should not pick and choose words and assume that it is offensive to one ethnic group while usage of another racist term is assumed to be offensive for another. For example, I'm more offended when Ted Nugent can say Jap, but will never ever say the N-word because it's offensive. Don't censor yourself because folks are uncomfortable. Even those on the left, speak truth and let it come out in public. Thank you, Tim. Thank you very kindly. Tim also added, if the media had showed photos of the dead babies at Sandy Hook to those Christian fundamentalists as evidence, it would backfire because them Christians will say those babies are aborted fetuses from Planned Parenthood. Forget the fact that they may be 6 years old or older. Those are just pictures from the morgue down to St. Jude's Children's Hospital, is all that is. Steve said, I just tuned in, so if I'm off base, sorry. It reminds me of my liberal father a number of years ago when the mayor of San Francisco was issuing marriage licenses. He asked me what I thought of it. He then said to me, what exactly are they protecting? Exactly. And he continues, I got a taste of this the other day, freedom protecting. I was standing in line at Mickey D's, and the line next to me was a man with a phone on the left side of his belt and a gun on his right. Bob, it terrified me. I almost yelled, gun. Then realizing that there was a police station next door, I asked him if he was a cop. He replied he was, except no badge, no markings, nothing. I moved two lines away. It was scary. Why did the guy have to do that to walk next door to get a burger? I know. But the thing is, the cops will generally carry openly, at least, and you can kind of, well, at least some of the time you can check, you know, You can't know. You can't tell the good guy with a gun from a bad guy with a gun until one of them goes from lawful gun owner to awful gun owner and starts flinging hot lead around the room. Ergo, and to wit, this terrifying, terrifying, terrifying country. Marty says, and they wonder why I'm looking to go expat. Maybe I can claim asylum in New Zealand. Good luck with that. It is frightening. It is terrifying. And understandably so. Yet what do you do when that which is terrifying is not even acknowledged to be real? That's my question. And there's ever so much more to go into for this Thorn in the Side Thursday. You are welcome to chime in as you see fit. You know the number, I assume, 304-574-8178 is line one. Line two is the stress line, 304-663-4676. That's 304-663-HORN, H-O-R-N. I was going to go to break, but I'm not now because I don't want to keep anybody on hold for very long. Let's go over and talk to Tom from FYI Nation and Some Say. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Bob. First, I want to apologize to our listeners. We had a breaker outage, so you started late, and I lost my show to it.
Oh.
But, so anybody who's listening, thank you for still listening. And secondly, that's my initial thorn in the side. Secondly, I want to thank you for not being scared to read that in its entirely unedited and actually saying the words of the vile creatures who actually
I really am conflicted, Tom, about doing that kind of thing. I mean, I've been criticized for it in the past. You know, why can't you just beep that word? Why can't you just beep that word out like the for-profit media do?
No, because it's in context. If you're, as long as you're not saying it like they are, go for it. Have at it, Hoss, as Cenk Uygur would say.
But I got to tell you, Tom, it makes me sick all the way to the pit of my gut just to read it.
It should. But we need to. You speak your truth. I speak mine on my show. But you have to, because here's the thing: they're not going to, and they're going to sugarcoat it, and then it'll go on to the next segment. And I support you, and the FYI Nation supports you on it, because it made me. I have a daughter who's multiracial, and it makes me cringe that she will go to college if she chooses and have to deal with this. And people need to know the truth, as vile as it may be. But this is still about. And the hoods may be off, but they're around slinging it on the internet and slinging the poo and everything else. And I really totally 1,000% support you on this.
Even so, I mean, I don't try to hurt anyone on this program. I mean, we might, okay. I ridicule fools like Mumbling Ben Carson, and you know, I don't care much about him anyway. But the people who form this community, if anybody in this community was hurt by my usage of the actual word in there, I deeply regret it, because I don't seek to hurt anyone.
Yeah, but if they know your character, like I know yours, that's not your intention. Your intention is to educate, just like Right Wing Watch's intention is, to educate what these foul bastards are trying to do. And as long as people like you and TYT and Nicole Sandler are here to tell their truth as they see it, as harmful as it may sound, it has to be done, because the corporate elite establishment media is not willing to do it.
Well, that dovetails with a question that I asked last night. Do you suppose there's anybody in the, you call it the corporate media, I call it the for-profit media, is there anybody in whatever we're going to call it, who watches something like the pageant from Tuesday night and just finds themselves almost overwhelmed by an almost Tourette's-like need to look at these fools and say, are you freaking crazy?
I don't know how those lapdogs just sat there and took it. If they had any respect,
all I can figure is, you know, the check cleared.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, because they literally took it. We counted, we covered it, and we literally counted 18 actual interruptions in a debate that they all decided to run and how they were going to run. Remember that now?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
and they still couldn't manage to at all act presidential. You had John Kasich, the most reasonable of the bunch, pulling a Jim Webb the entire time.
And just the idea that he is the most reasonable of the bunch is terrifying.
Yes, because Nikki will tell you how reasonable he isn't.
Sure, and you know, it's not like he's, oh, I don't know, it's not like he's a Taft or
yeah.
To cite a famous Ohio Republican family. It's not like he's an Eisenhower.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I mean, he's, you know, even whatever he is, he's still to the right of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, even saying something like that, that's another one of those things that I just put on the list for, you know, why I step into the bathtub and pour a couple of gallons of bleach over my head every night.
Well, welcome to my world, man. I mean, it's, if you don't laugh, you're going to cry. I mean, I didn't do a show yesterday because I've been dealing with my own personal demons, and I took my own advice and decided not to do a show. And your prayer meeting Wednesday, oh, it was like a blessing from Jesus, Jack.
A blessing from the Lord. God be praised.
So I wanted to thank you again for that. I know I did online, but sometimes it's just not enough because you made my evening, which was... Whenever I don't do a show like you, I feel bad, you know, and I just knew that I couldn't focus, and I'm usually ADHD because I literally am, so I knew how bad it was, I just didn't, and you came on, and it was like, oh, there we go. Everything's right, girl.
it's the same way I feel because Carol and I talk about the fact that, we've got this U-shaped blowgun. And, mm-hmm. And you put it, it's kind of like a trombone slide. So you set it so that it's, so that the curve of the U is coming back into your throat below your mouth and you just, and you know, the Thorazine dart enters. Oh, so yeah. Much better. Oh.
Yeah, no. And it's this like little addiction thing that you and I both have that we share, having to do a show every day. Otherwise we can't feel like we're doing something right. And I'm so grateful that you're on the network, and I'm so grateful that you said what you said because.
Well, I'll be honest. This was a really bad, no good, very awful day, and I was sitting here cussing and gnawing on my own liver all the way up to about 5:59 p.m. trying to decide whether to. And you just got to.
Yeah.
If this is the horse you choose to ride, you got to get on the horse and ride.
Yeah, I mean, literally, quite frankly, because I've been dealing with some, I've told you about my back and everything, I've been dealing with back pain, too. Both were too distracting to do it yesterday, and I was so mad when the power went out. And then Windows 10 updated everything.
Oh, no. Believe you me, I know that. I mean, yeah, I try to run a 24/7 stream, and... mercifully, folks like Randy and PA will send me a note, and I'll look at it and go, oh, no, really? And
yeah.
Have to, you know, come trotting back into the studio, the fabulous, fabulous Horn Studio, and restart the streamer. It's like, God.
Oh, no, you're, like, literally, I stopped having the screensaver on, because sometimes that would reset the stream. So I literally have it staring into my face.
Oh, I turned the screensaver off a long time ago. No, I'm debating on whether or not I should probably turn off automatic updates.
Well, here's the thing: you can't though. Eventually, it forces you to. At least for me with Windows 10, and that drives me.
Well, no, I had it. If you don't catch it, I refuse to have Windows 10.
Fair enough.
I mean, I'm stuck with it on one, but I'm no more, no other.
Yeah.
So I'll get this notification saying Windows is going to shut down for updates in 10 minutes. And if you don't see it, it does mm-hmm. it. And so it was just it was during Dr. Bill's program. I looked over at it, Tom, and I went, holy, because it says like, you know, 2 minutes and 2 seconds. And, you know, suddenly you're
yep.
suddenly you're Captain Kirk and you'd 01, 00, 59, 58. God damn it. And postpone? No, I don't want to post. I want you to not do this.
Yeah, no, I believe me, I can totally relate. I wanted to also call. I don't know if you saw this. It's all over Facebook now because apparently Neil Cavuto did a cringeworthy interview with a student for free college as they're panning it on the Fox Business Channel.
Oh, God, help me, no.
And apparently it's really cringeworthy. And if you look through the comment section, this is why I actually called. The most misogynist.
Oh, you don't go to the comments section, do you? Oh, no.
I'm a masochist, Bob. I can't.
Oh,
help
you myself. Must like it real good, real bad.
Yes, I do. I can't help myself. So I go to the comments section and then, you know, I look around to see if we have any bleach and we're always out when I want to do it.
Is this going to be Neil Cavuto embarrass a student who wants free college?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, no. Well, this, yeah. This will. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Thomas. This will be another thorn in my.
You're welcome. Oh, I figure I'd share the love suffering. because I was going to do. I'm still going to do the poop story. The poop truth is tomorrow. But since you kind of stole my thunder early, I figured I'd give you a thorn.
Well, ow. Yeah.
happy Festivus.
Well, for the rest of us. But you see, I didn't get to the apex of the mm-hmm. of the poop story.
Oh yeah, please do.
And that is so. Yeah, I mean, where did this website, The Federalist, come from? Did it just spring up like crabgrass on a putting green?
That's Glenn Beck. That is his news network. Well,
I thought that was The Blaze.
It is The Blaze. Yeah, but the Fox Business Network is, well, Fox, but it's trying to do CNBC.
Okay, so I've got these PR flacks that landed my email box pushing crap from the Federalist, and I had that one jackass on Monday. You burn the colleges to the ground!
Yeah.
Nice to hear a voice of reason. No, so anyway, so we know about Light Fart. And we know about the Federalist and all, and the other, you know, the other mausoleums for journalism careers.
Yeah.
Well, over on Fox News Radio, TV Rwanda, they had their own private hissy, you know, live on air.
Yeah.
About the fecal hate symbol. I mean, I think we, in a way, I think if we call it a poop swastika or a poop sticker like that clown did, we do it disservice. We minimize it.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And, you know, all of this.
What about Nazi poop? Does that work?
Oh, you're getting, we got a thing going on here. You're getting awful close.
Nazi poop?
No, because the next thing somebody will say and we'll blow a challenge.
Fair enough.
But fair enough. Lo and behold, they go on air because how do they make Fox work? I mean, obviously there are no fact checkers there because if this poop swastika existed, wouldn't there be a picture of it? Well, yes, shit for brains, there would be, and here it is.
Well, Bob, first you have to believe that the Jesus jet is going to land somewhere in the next 5 minutes. That's the first step. And then the second step is that you have to believe that Dr. Benny Ambien Carson is going to be the pilot of Jesus Jet, because he's also a retired pilot as well. Did you know that?
Oh, God, I bless the greens down in Africa. Yeah, I know.
Because that's the way he saw Jesus, because he was a personal assistant flight attendant.
Yeah, right. Yeah, put out my hand and touched the face.
Because, I mean, who does that? I thought, when I first saw that going around, I thought it was fake. I thought somebody made it up.
I've slipped the surly bonds of earth and danced the skies on laughter-silvered wings.
Did he put a sponge in his own head?
I think it's more like something that rattles.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
Clank.
He is a big baby, so that would make sense. And that's the other thing you need to do to work for any of those networks. You have to be a big baby who constantly loses your binky.
Oh, God. It's, well.
See, Unfortunately, the other thing is I'm doing penance for you for being a right-wing, conservative, self-hating bisexual in my youth. So I'm paying it back. And I have years and years to go with this. I'm just saying. But I just wanted to say we're behind you. And I'm sure that whoever is listening who was upset by it knows that you are speaking your truth.
Well, you know, you've got a note from Tim from L.A.
Ooh.
He says, Tom's correct. Just because folks on the left are offended, especially if they're white, just ignore them. The truth must be told. You know what white person I'm talking about? And I do. I mean, just because these white lefties feel uncomfortable and scold, well, I find that offensive myself. Why? Because it gives the impression I can't tell the difference between context and real racism. And that's truly condescending to me. Oh,
yes.
And just because I'm of Japanese ancestry, it doesn't mean I'm not affected by racism. Therefore, if any white lefties out there are getting ready to send you an email and call you a racist, I have this to say. Fuck you, you racist asshole. How dare you insult a friend like Bob Kincaid? Thank you, Tim. I want Tim at my back in a squabble.
Yeah. I need anybody because I play with the girlfriend and she beats me all the time. She kicks my ass on a regular basis, but I kind of like that because, again,
masochist, right? You know what happened when the sadist and the masochist got married, right?
Yes.
The masochist said, hurt me, and the sadist said, no.
That's pretty much our relationship.
We'll just stay out of that swamp. Steve said, the words are painful. They are hurtful. And everything you said, those words, however, need to be said, and they need to be put out there. King's words are applicable. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism.
That drug would be Dr. Benny Ambien Carson, because wow, you get hyped up on that, you're done.
Yeah, well, you know, the Lion King. What do you want?
I've been borrowing some of your words. You're hooked into the PC, and you could tell me the PC police. I mean, you could tell me if this is too offensive for Carly Fiorina. I have been considering strongly calling her Mrs. Iron Snatch.
Yeah, I wouldn't go there.
Okay, fair enough.
No. I have this general rule, with the single exception of when we need input from the that great philosopher who was not a welder, Jeff Spicoli. We draw a line in the sand for him and this.
You dick!
Okay. We keep that handy. But I have a general rule of thumb that says we should be able to adequately ridicule and to use a phrase that my Australian friends are fond of, take the piss out of anybody without referring to their genitals.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Asshole is wide open because everybody's got one except Beldar Conehead.
Yes, that's true.
Apparently he has, like, rivets or something. I mean, I remember the movie, but...
Yeah, no, yeah. No, fair enough. I mean, I that's why I asked you, because I knew, you would provide me with the wit and wisdom that you say you don't have, but I assure you, you do. And it's good to have you on the network, and it's really good to, you know, hear your voice. And the other thing that I wanted to mention too was, the thing about Bernie supporters, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Oh, please. Quick. Yeah. No. I read that the other day and I completely understand. Go ahead.
I love Bernie Sanders. I'm more socialist than he is. Like, I really am. And it really, when I see them doing the same thing that they accuse Hillary supporters or Republicans do, I literally want to throw things. So luckily I have a radio show to be able to do it, but then I offend some of my listeners. And I've gotten to the point where I try not to care. Because, like I said about the other thing, you have to speak the truth and you have to analyze the news. And as long as we're not, you know, doing this circle jerk firing squad on our own, I think I could do that. And what bugs me the most is the shillery, like you said, and the shill. comments. It's like, why are you giving that to the Republicans?
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't stand the gender-based attacks. I can't stand
that. Yeah.
And we've got a challenge on the table. Otherwise, I would tell you the other phrase, the other word people use for her that drives me absolutely out of my mind.
Fair enough.
And this is, but this is, I'm gonna vote for her by default if she is the Democratic nominee. And
yes.
I'm sorry. I mean, I know there are people who are so enthusiastic about her campaign, and that's okay. I'm not one of them.
No, neither am I. I was in 2007. But
no, I get it because you know I hate the super the undeserved self-adulation of you know, or whatever that goes with. I just don't like it. And I mean, it goes back to, you know, I remember when some people who thought that, you know, they were the real goddamn liberals would say that, you know, if you didn't and on any number of issues, and this goes way back. You know, if you weren't with them, you were in the veal pen.
I mean, if we're being honest.
I mean, have you been following this stuff long enough to know that phrase, the veal pen?
Yeah.
And I think we know where that thing came, where a lot of that rose from.
I mean, and to say that, what the other thing that I have a laundry list because I wasn't on there yesterday. I hate that when I do that.
It's okay. Letting go now. Letting go now. Just get it all out of your system.
Shit on me, no. but the other thing that's driving me nuts with this is the acting as if the Democratic Party had never. Anyone in the Democratic Party had never been vetted. For God's sakes, did we forget about Gary Hart? I mean, he basically he said, "Follow me around," and they caught him with another woman.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of that was pure hubris.
Yeah, that was Dr. Benny Anabian right there. You know,
yeah.
And I'd look a while back to Donald. Oh, I'm sorry, Donald. I'm getting my crazy old white man
confused. You're getting
confused.
Your lunatics confused, yes.
Rush Limbaugh said, you liberals aren't going to know how to criticize Dr. Ben Carson because he's an African-American neurosurgeon who made it in America.
Right, because the right wing just looks at an African-American and we know the first word that comes to mind.
Yes, exactly.
Whereas I can see, I mean, I've got people. People here will refer to him as Uncle Ben, and I won't. I absolutely won't.
I nearly made that. I was going to make that joke, but then I decided not to because it was even offensive to me. I just said, y'all can figure out what I'm thinking because it was something he said.
Well, but for me, Thomas, for me, that's too easy.
Yeah, no,
that's
you're
too
right.
Easy.
You're right. Yeah.
Because I mean that's why I refer to him as a pathetically miseducated meat mechanic.
Yeah, no.
I guess he saved some lives, but you know what? Never mind Barack Obama's transcripts. I want to see that silly bastard's medical malpractice claims history.
Can we? What about Sponge Ben?
That's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
That work.
I personally think that's a disservice to SpongeBob. But
well, yeah, me too. And my daughter would probably like beat me over the head over that one. But whatever. I'm Squidward anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I've got a question here from Irish Dave. So referring to her as the Wall Street, talking about Senator Secretary Clinton as the Wall Street Walker. That's a little iffy for me too. On a couple of levels, one of which is the fact that it confuses her with Scott Walker.
Yeah.
And I prefer to despise him all by himself. You know what I mean? I don't want any confusion.
Yeah.
I just want to know, and maybe the design team will tell us sometime, when they came up with her logo, you know, with that H with the arrow.
I didn't do it.
Well, no, was there a discussion about that?
I mean, was it
deliberate? Was that arrow made to deliberately point to the right?
I don't know. I do know it was the worst thing they could have ever done. It was like the Jeb question mark, right? I refuse to say exclamation point at this point. But the Jeb question mark, it's like, we know your last name. You know, it's like, why do you have to do that? It's everybody knows your name. It's like walking into Cheers. You know, for the 100th too many times.
Sure. And Jeb can fix it. I mean, oh my God. The level of cluelessness that attends that campaign. I mean, it's like it's light from the star Clueless that's just now beginning to blaze down upon the planet. It took a million years to get here, but it's here, and it's all. How do you craft Jeb can fix it? Well, they thought they were just stealing it from some politician in Texas or New Mexico.
I'm telling you, Bob the Builder is pissed.
Well, but the fact that Jim will fix it was the catchphrase for one of the most disgusting pedophiles in the entire history of the United Kingdom.
Yeah, that is true. But if it's not in America, it doesn't matter. Remember that.
Though. But he was pathetic. I mean,
yeah.
And there's something I did not get around to mentioning. When he got to in his manifest frustration, and he finally got to speak, and they'd been talking about Syria, and, you know, Jesus, Carly Fiorina scares me to death.
Yes. I like that. I think I might use that. But
blame Carol. That's one of hers.
Yes.
But when they got all done, and he said, you know, you'd think this was some sort of board game, like Monopoly or something.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, this is what comes of being an old DJ who plays records back. Or, turn me on, dead man. Turn me on, dead man. I buried Paul. When I heard that, I was like, well, I guess we know what happens on game night at game night in Kenny Bunkport now, don't we?
Yeah.
Because they've never played Risk. Money-grubbing front feet in the trough, trying to get the rear ones in there with them, too. They spend all their time. You landed on Boardwalk with a hotel. Oh, I'm going to give you a noogie and a swirly and a wedgie on at the same time. You're out of the game, Jeb. those money grubbing freaks have never played Risk.
Yeah, no, they haven't. And well, unless you talk about Prescott, this one of my senators. I'm originally from Connecticut, so. Unless you count him, he played Risk, and they made money off of, you know, and all that, which is ironic considering he wanted to kill who they made money off of.
That's about as close as I care to get.
Yeah, I figured it out. I'm smart. Tell Mike I'm smart.
Yeah, and then Jim also points out, Jeb can fix it just fine. Remember the 2000 election?
Yes. Oh, amen. Yeah. Amen. Question for you.
Yes.
Debate night. If you're not doing anything, we are hosting again. We're trying to do all of them.
Oddly enough, I have a note for you here from Marty.
Sure.
Would you mind asking the FYI not to preempt you during clown car debates? But actually, I was having a conversation with Boss Man Wayne, and we're going, now that we know what the problem was originally, we're going to try to host the program from a nifty little pub underneath the theater where we'll, again, have a group viewing of the debates.
Okay.
So I will be live on the air for that.
Okay.
And I haven't broadcast from anywhere where people would just bring me a beer for the asking. I don't know ever. This could get interesting. Because I made a promise 10 years ago that I would never subject anybody here to Limbaugh Radio. My friends, the those people with the vaginas, they're trying to steal. Crush me up another one of those oxys. I love the refreshing burst of flavor. Yeah.
As Radio Revival's Nikki's show would say, a cigarette hangover, OxyContin hangover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But that's what we'll be doing then. And for your scheduling purposes, things could get really interesting Wednesday night next.
Okay.
because we're going to try something we've never done before, and it's not political or anything. We're going to be broadcasting live a poetry slam or a poetry event from our friends over at the Grove at Secret Sandwich Society. And we'll have everybody mic'd up, and hopefully nobody will flip out or get nervous or anything. We'll just, you know, clip a little wireless lavalier mic onto them, so maybe they'll forget they've even got a microphone. And it'll be a lot of people reading their own poetry.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And so there's not going to be a set start and finish time. It'll probably be like 8 to 10 or something like that.
Okay. So, well, we do, for those who don't know what we do after my show, we do 3 to 4 hours of original programming that we actually do from 3 o'clock till 6 o'clock when the power doesn't go out. 3 o'clock, Jeff Waldorf does a show called Around the Nation, and that is every Monday through Thursday. And then I follow him at 4 o'clock. For those who are interested, you'll feel free to mosey on over. We do have a chat, and we do have a hashtag FYI Live that you know about. That's from 4 to 6, and then you come on at 6. Then we have Mike Malloy on right after you at about right after Green News Report at 9 o'clock. So that's pretty much our daily schedule during the week. And then on Mondays at 2 o'clock, we have a show called Reality Check with Rory, which is a British host who does international news and commentary.
Oh, very cool.
So we have and the other thing, too, is on the weekends, every Saturday night at 8 o'clock, we do a show called You Don't Say, where think a conversation radio like yours. But I invite people to come on, different hosts all the time. And so if anyone wants to get in touch with me at Doubting Tom, FYI on Twitter or through Bob and his group, and you want to come on, you're more than welcome to do that. We just try to do it ahead of time so everybody knows what's going on. So we rotate hosts out and do it that way. We don't take calls.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome. I don't know if you've heard that one yet, but it is.
No, you're doing it. You're doing a lot of good work over there. You really, really are. And it reminds me of the early days of the Horn in many ways. If you ever want to hear three or four people having the time of their lives with microphones,
mm-hmm.
Go over to White Rose Society.
Okay.
And download two or three editions of what we used to call the Horn section.
Okay.
More often than not, it was Peter Godbold, me, and John Fox.
Okay.
And it was, to my mind, and in those dim and misty bygone days, it was magic. It was a lot of fun.
No, yeah, and we also post everything on our FYNation.com, as long as I get to it, and a SoundCloud page, so we're paywall free. So
hey, SoundCloud, can you post long-form stuff there?
Yeah, well, we pay the $15 a month to do it, which, by the way, if anyone wants to donate to help us out so we can pay for the year come Christmas, that would be awesome. But, you know, that's all good. But we got that covered right now, but the year would be not having to pay that would be too cool at some point. But we are also doing a fundraising drive for our bills to pay annually. And if anyone gives anything to us and mentions, say, your show, Bob, or Nicole Sandler, or Tom Hartman, we will see that they get half of the donation.
Wow.
Because without you guys, our affiliates, when we can't do live programming, or in original programming, we run you, and we wouldn't be 24/7 without you.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you. Thank you very kindly.
So, and that's my way because I'm poor. So that's my way of being able to give back.
That's why we do this.
You know, exactly. And that's why I felt bad that I was like, what can I do to be able to get to Bob and Nicole and everybody else who I know needs it? And that was how I figured it out. So.
Well, that is lovely. Well, Tom, it is a pleasure talking to you. It has been indeed a pleasure. And,
thank you.
Hopefully we will talk again soon.
Yes, and I hope I didn't overstay my welcome.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I just see a call coming in on the same line, and I'll grab it.
I'll let them go, and you go to them.
All right, thanks, Tom.
Bye-bye.
Bye. From FYI Nation, the one and only Doubting Tom. And let's keep it rolling. Is that you, Todd?
This is Todd. I'm going to take out, I'm on speaker, I'm going to switch.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
You're a little low, but I can work with that.
Hello?
Yeah, you're there.
Mm. Okay, that didn't work, did it?
You're fine.
Oh, I didn't know if you could hear. I dug out these, you know how you get all these new earpieces with the iPhones, and I never use them anyway, so I had like three old ones, and it's the first time I used this one with the microphone, but I'm not on it now, on speaker. But I would like to switch over to the microphone, but maybe this is not a good time to experiment.
Let's go with what's working at the moment.
That sounds like a good proposition. So anyway, you know, I just know you from the radio and everything, and you know me from the radio, but I don't know how many black listeners you have, but, you know, I was actually very offended when people in the media came out with this N-word stuff. You know,
oh, thank God. I thought you were going to crawl me, and I was about to worry.
No, listen. You know, it has been long enough. All right. It's been long enough, man. People have to get over it because people need to hear it for the hate. It sounds hateful. It really does. And that people need to hear that. It's the truth. When you say N-word, you know, it means nothing. You've taken the power out of the word. You remember we were talking about language and the law and everything the other day? It means something.
Yeah, it does. And the thing is, the word is hurtful, and the word is hateful. But how is this? But Todd, how is this country going to come to grips with what it has and is becoming if we don't acknowledge the hate that is rolling like a, well, you know, a mighty river through this country? I mean, we have a problem. And I live, you know, you, me, I think we kind of live in this progressive bubble where everybody goes, well, yeah, that sucks. Well, everybody doesn't feel that way. And I don't know if the more mainstream liberal, maybe they want to hear a beep or an N-word or something like that because, you know, their ears are just too tender and delicate to hear how the goddamn right wing actually thinks and speaks and writes and talks.
Exactly.
Sorry.
No, you sound like me now. No, I apologize to everyone in the Horn family sometimes when I lose it because I get frustrated because I am in a whole different place here and I'm seeing, you know, it was not like this. Like you said, see, I don't know, if you're of a certain age, you've seen the change, and we're of the right and same age, we saw the change.
Is it all because Ronald Reagan gave a speech in Neshoba County, Mississippi, and then came and spoke in Tuscumbia, Alabama, near the Klan headquarters? Was that the watermark?
Bob, I don't know if it was the speech or if it was the administration, but all I can tell you is that it just coincided with me moving from a nice neighborhood in the city to really just beyond suburbs, like exo-rural, like you know, the edge of the suburbs, like where there's farms and stuff. And I was a teenager, and I was like the only black kid in, I don't know, a long way, right? And it was in high school, it was like, seriously, there were four black kids, 1,300 kids, four black kids in high school. So I didn't stay there long. And you know, they were moving from the city. And like a lot of people from Philadelphia, what happened, the factories closed and they moved to Phoenix. And I was always wondering, after I did research, why in Arizona there's a big contingent of ex-patriots from Philadelphia, right? Because they used to have factories like in North Philly, there'd be a factory every three blocks. But I don't want to, you know how to get on tangents. I don't want to get off on a tangent. You know, Nick, you know what? If you have balls enough to say nigger, then say nigger. What I'm saying is if you're hateful enough and you mean that, we want to hear your hate.
Well, it's kind of like the Confederate flag, isn't it? In this day and age, if you feel compelled to fly a Confederate flag, I want you to fly it because then
exactly.
I'm going to know who you are.
Exactly. Because if you feel that strong, please don't keep that bottled up. I really need to know who you are because, like you say, you know, you probably got your damn freedom protector on and all this nonsense. And these people are insane with these gut, like, you know, it's a mess. We have stepped in a pile of, you know what, and it's up to our kneecaps. And we're just now waking up like, oh, where'd this come from? Oh, it's been here all the time. It has always been here.
Todd, that's where I start running into trouble because I know it's always been there because, I mean, I'm of a certain age like you, and it has. It's always been there. But for a while, it seemed like the there that it's been was a there where they sort of got together in dodgy little corners and sniffed mimeograph fluid and waited till dark to post it on to post their call to arms on the bulletin board at the Wiggling Pig. Okay,
yeah.
That it's out in the open now. I mean, it's almost like they're following the we're loud, we're proud. You know.
Well, you know, it's right. So, you know, once again, I, in my mind, we're back to part of it. We're back to education again because. People don't understand why we have unions. People don't understand. If you understood even a modicum of American history, you would understand what a big deal that's going on right now. Like when we were growing up in the late 70s, early 80s, people really were trying to get along. I mean, different. And they weren't. We were getting along great. I mean, honest to God, that's in my opinion. That was my experience. And I saw the change. I saw when it went downhill. And it was, you know, it started with Reagan. And then when the economy got bad, of course. Everything gets worse. I mean, that's just, you know, that's plain history, socioeconomic history. When the economy goes south, then racial tensions rise. So now we have basically a cauldron of just bad mojo.
Well, if you can, and I don't know if you can, and it's unfair of me to ask you any either way, Todd. But I want you to answer a not answer a question, but engage in a bit of a disquisition for me. And that is this, and I invite anybody else who is of color inside the Horn Family Commune congregation to be a part of this as well. I read a story like heightened security at Howard University, and I get cold chills. And again, I freely admit I am a pasty-faced, doughy white guy. I have not experienced. Systemic, cultural, institutional, or any other form of racism. Can you give us a sense? I mean, as progressives and everything, you know, we've read about and heard about, and the most that white folks can try to do is try to identify or sympathize or empathize with, you know, the idea of the speech.
Right.
What I mean on a campus to hear that there are people who exercising their alleged constitutional rights are announced that they are willing to exercise them by randomly killing people for the color of their skin. What happens inside your being? What happens inside your mind? What does that do to you? Does it change your day-to-day living? Does it change, how does it change how you feel? Do you get the gist of my inquiry?
Well, it's like you were saying earlier tonight. I think a lot of it is based on fear because, as you and Dr. Bill have been saying, and other folks actually, I got the radio on all day. Folks who always thought they would be secure, you know, they, you know, just basically muddled along with life. They, you know, figured they'd be okay. And all of a sudden, now their lifestyle and what they think their lifestyle for their children is going to be is they feel threatened. And a lot of folks, when they feel threatened, they act out. So that's one part of it. Okay. The other part is that when if this is indeed true, where you have all right. So let me back up before I. All right. We already have had reports of all over there. I thought it was BS at first, but there were too many of a lot of churches being burned. Okay. But we had a whole spate, like what, last week, 2 weeks ago, right? It was a whole spate of church plans in the South. All over. So the universities, because you got to remember, you can't have any smart niggas riding around, right? That's the worst thing. And I have no trouble with saying what I'm saying. I believe it. And you know, and yeah, white people probably have to be careful how they use that word. And that's a good thing, because it's not, you know, it's a lot of like people say, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Right? Because, and you're not going to take that word away from me, but when certain people use it in a certain way, yo, that's hostile, man. You're fucking nasty. Get the fuck out of here. Come on, what is wrong with you? But at the same time, I want you to vent. Proverbial you, because people need to see the hatred that is spilling off of your teeth, of your venomous vampire teeth, just like Clive and Bundy. Now, here you have a whole bunch of a certain demographic of people, right, armed to the teeth with, like, nice weapons. You know, those people buy great. They don't worry about spending $1,000 on a gun. That's nothing. They like guns, right, with the good ammunition, not that bullshit ammo, with the high-grain shit, right? And pointing them at federal people, and nothing happened. And then you have all these unarmed black people. Yeah, well, he ran from the cops. Guess what? I ran from the cops, too. And that's a whole other diatribe. Don't get me started on that. But how is it you have a whole group of armed white people, and nothing happens? All these unarmed black people, children, they roll up on Tamir Rice in Ohio. Less than 2 seconds, bam! One less dead nigger. That's
right. And the cops clear him.
Clear. Let's remember that particular officer had been released from another department, and he got a terrible rating. Terrible. As a matter of fact, it was written, they said, he shouldn't even be allowed to have a gun. I'm not making this up, people. Do your research. It's out there. Do your research. So it's just, Bob, it's just so much. I mean, it's just so much.
You want to, I mean, and by that, I mean, you want, how do you get a break from it? How do you get away from it? I mean, there's a running gag between my wife and me that something happened. You know, we went on that Progressive Voices Lib Boat cruise a few years ago, and Agnes keeps saying, you know, something happened out there, and when we got back off the boat, I mean, it was sunny and beautiful in South Florida when we got on it. We got back, it was cold and gray, and something happened. We passed through the Bermuda Triangle or something, and we came back to the wrong place.
Damn.
You know, like the place with the goatee Fu Manchu Spock, you know, that one. Where everybody's just, you know, a bunch of throat cutting, and I take the position. Nope, this is the same place we left from. We came back to it, and it's just getting worse.
Well, what we have to do now, honestly, is get to know people. People are just angry, and I'm gonna tell you, it's very dangerous around here because. You got a lot of people who walk around and they're allowed to have these concealed carry weapons. And you got a lot of older white women and they're scared, you know, cause I'm not going to describe myself. I don't have to describe myself, but you know, apparently I don't, you know, people look at me or whatever. I'm not a small person. And you know, I can tell now. I know how to, I can spot them now. You know, they got these purses where they have the quick. In other words, they have a little pocket on the side of the purse. They can slip their hand in really quickly. And see, they can shoot me dead and say, oh, I felt threatened. You know. That's it. We're back. No, seriously. This is, Okay, I'm going on my curse now. I had a curse. I really do, because I won't feel right if I don't. So, bear with me. We're fucking back to 1870-something in Reconstruction. That's where the fuck we are right now.
It feels like it.
If you know a little bit about goddamn, and I'm a dumbass in history, but what I know of it, and it fascinates me. I was never interested in Civil War shit until I moved here, because these people are so fascinated with it. I'm like, you know, now it's kind of, and I didn't even know I was living in the hotbed of it. Even in the Revolutionary War, but that's another story. You know, Pennsylvania, man, there's a lot of rich history there. I remember that. Oh, you guys got to go to the observation deck at Gettysburg. But these folks have just, it's too late. You know what? And the thing is, what they're scared of, the Browning of America, it's too late. What did you think was going to happen?
Well, that's like being scared. I was about to say that's like being scared of the tide coming in. But now we are scared of the tide coming in, except for the people who don't believe in sea level rise. And to them, it's just, that's just freedom flowing around their kneecaps. But it is, look, and maybe in the past, Todd, I've made an argument that, and it's based on a line from, John Borman's movie Excalibur, where Nickel Williams played Merlin, and he's got this wonderful line where he says, "For it is the doom of men that they forget." He kind of sounds like a male Katharine Hepburn. I have sort of pondered that and ruminated on it and navel-gazed over it, and I'm convinced it's true, because the fact of the matter is, the world's population has constantly been changing color. Okay? India is a classic example, because you've got people with white folks' features. You know what I mean by that?
Yep.
And they may be blacker than you are.
You're fascinated by dialect like I am. Yeah. Okay.
And that's because of a massive migration out of Central Asia down into the Indian subcontinent eons ago.
Right.
And we know from genetic research that's been done in Western Europe, a lot more recently than we thought, the dominant color in Europe was brown. Okay? And these are always shifting gradations and shifting hues. And it does, and the furiously frustrating thing about all of this is it's not an issue, okay? It is, skin color is absolutely not an issue until white Europe makes it one for economic purposes.
You know, Bob, I don't know if Dr. Bill can do an episode on this, but I was dumbstruck when I learned of this, I cannot remember his name, but it was a Virginia planter, and he was a person of color, like maybe Creole, something like that. But, see, and this was early, early on, like mid-1600s, early, I'd say late 1600s, before 1700. Race was not in it. What we call race was not an issue. It didn't matter that he was darker, but he had money.
It did, because, among other things, you had the concept of seasoning. For everything from slightly north of Philadelphia south, if you were a white person, you had 2 years here, and if you didn't die, you would survive. But a lot died, because of the so-called seasoning, yellow fever and malaria.
Can you imagine the mosquitoes in
but,
that
but,
area?
I alluded to this the other night. Many of us know the horrors of the Trail of Tears. A lot fewer people know that some of the people who participated in the horror of the Trail of Tears were the black slaves of Indian nations, the so-called civilized tribes who were driven out of the Southeast, and took their slaves with them to Oklahoma. And those slaves were not freed after the Civil War. It took a separate governmental act to free the slaves of, say, the Chickasaw people. Because they were called the five civilized tribes because They bought lock, stock, and barrel into white culture.
Well, you know, that makes sense. Because they've got, there's an interesting, I have a couple relatives from that area, Oklahoma. You know, you got that mix between Native American and Black. And that was the real Wild West.
But what I was getting at is, why would anybody be surprised that this country, look, until 1780, the largest community that had ever existed on this continent, north of the Rio Grande, until 1780, the largest community that ever existed on north of the Rio Grande was a place in Illinois on the east bank of the Mississippi River called Cahokia. We don't know what the people who lived there called it, but it was a community of upwards more than 40,000 people, and only around 1780 did Philadelphia surpass 40,000 people.
Was that in the Midwest?
Yeah, it's in Illinois. It's called Cahokia, C-A-H-O-K-I-A.
Was that near those mounds?
Yeah, Monk's Mound, and yeah,
right.
It's fascinating, but the thing is, coloring gradations of native peoples and all have been happening during the entire history of humanity, but only with the voyages of exploration, only as the Portuguese begin to go down past the Straits of Gibraltar and down the west coast of Africa, only then does it begin to matter. I mean, there was a black emperor of Rome,
right?
And skin color was not an issue in the ancient world.
No, it didn't. And now look at people who like the Bible. Look at the three kings, right? They're kings. They're all different. But that was my point about the Virginia planter, is that at some point during his life, when he was like in his prime of life, he was subjugated because he was a person of color. And what happened is that they changed the Bible over, and it was like, we have to do something, because we have to have slaves to develop this country. We just can't do this for free. Are you kidding? We got to have slaves. We got to, we have to finagle away. Black is bad. Terrible people. That's it.
And as one internet meme I saw put it, they've been calling black people lazy ever since they quit working for free.
Okay, so now we've established, right, exactly. This is wonderful. We're dovetailing and segueing nicely. So this is it. This is why I brought the Reconstruction metaphor, is because doesn't it seem like every time that the young kid killed, he had drugs in his system. He had cocaine. And, if you look at these posters from, 18...
He had a razor in his shoe.
He was in a cocaine-induced rage. He was looking for a white woman to rape because he went to... because he used to be able to drive-by laudanum, opium and cocaine at the drugstore.
Lewis and Clark took a copious amount of laudanum with them on the voyage of discovery.
I would have, too. Everything has its place. But, you can't beat a good night's sleep. You know that. And what if you're traveling? You ever go to a strange hotel room, you can't sleep. But that's all I'm going to say about that.
Ain't nothing a little brown liquor won't fix.
But, yeah, that's true. So I diverge. This is this Missouri thing, right? So it's just too much. It's just too much. And I think I don't know. The other shoe was going to drop soon. There's something going on. There's something fishy. Something's fishy. We have these more certifiable weirdo people. Which is supposed to be the ruling party is supposed to be, right? But they can't even, then they got control of Congress and they can't even cover themselves. The best among them is not great. And then, like you said earlier, you know, it's like we deal with the local election. Once again, we are presented with a forced or a false choice, right? So what is to become of us?
I see real danger ahead between Election Day leading up to Election Day 2016, and again, probably the presidential election of 2024. I think there's a window there that is open and is in fact very frightening.
It's frightening. Yes, because
there's something is going to be confirmed in the census of 2020 that pasty-faced, doughy, paranoid white America is going to drive them mad. That is the confirmation of what of that phrase you use, the browning of America.
Let me rewind for a little bit. When you're black and you start getting education and you start to migrate upwardly in social class, you see fewer and fewer black people. And then what happens is that the white people you're around, they start asking you questions like, how is it that you, but I always thought, and I'm like, yeah, well, see, you think black people are monolithic.
That's why I feel really stupid asking you a question like, what goes on in your head suddenly, you're the official spokesman. And that's so much garbage on my part. But there are questions that there are questions that white people don't feel comfortable, mostly don't feel comfortable asking. And at least we've got a community here where we can have that discussion that can't be had in the larger, wider world.
That's a beautiful thing.
Well, we've been working real hard to create it, so. And there's an archive of the attempt.
Oh, right. I had another question for you. I'm of the ilk that, I say Uncle Ben Carson, but the reason I say that is because Uncle Tom is too easy for me. That's hackney. That means nothing. But there's something screwy going on with Dr. Carson. Something's not right with him. And for him to be that close in the polls right now. I mean, all right. So they fed us the stupid. They began this nonsense with Sarah Palin, to see how far they could get. And that was frightening. Right. So now it's like, oh, we can serve up a whole buffet of buffoons now. Now they've gotten used to stupid.
It's like our previous conversation. It has proven to be very profitable. I mean, Mumbling Ben is on a book tour, not a political campaign. I'll stand by that. And all I can figure is that somebody's telling Jebya to just play rope-a-dope until they begin to fall away. But the gig is good.
The what is who?
The gig is good. The money is good. Carly Fiorina is not going to leave the race as long as the checks are clearing. Neither is anybody else.
No. It seems like every election cycle, a few more people get hit for that. But most people, the Fox people, never. And most people know because they don't have time. understand it, that they get to keep that money, and they got a little scam worked out with the books and everything, and they get to keep that damn money. So it's like they get to, in other words, get their name out there, that's image, right? That's their brand, and then they get paid for it. It's a scam. But see, and this is what worries me, though, is the other scam, is this Supreme Court that we have now. Now that we're settled in, we are settled in with this Supreme Court that has said, now you went to law school, Bob. I didn't go to law school, but I know this much. Law is supposed to be predicated on precedent.
Well, at least the so-called Anglo-American system is.
Well,
many systems aren't, but that's supposed to provide stability and a bulwark against chaos. But a lot of that is illusory, Todd. Because when the Supreme Court wants to throw out precedent, they do. Look what, you know, all you got to do is, I know they said it was a one-off, but look at Bush v. Gore. Look at how they got rid of the Civil Rights Act. You know, look at beady-eyed John Roberts testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee and saying, oh, I'm just going to go up here and call balls and strikes.
Yeah, look what Supreme Court that was also. They threw out precedent. See, where I'm going with this is what kept us from falling apart earlier in last century in terms of monopolies and whatnot. And because they already addressed this case in, like, what, 1890-something, 1900, you know, about corporations and people. They already addressed that, and they said, no, corporations are not people. Then it went back and forth a little bit. But, all right, so fine. We're entrenched in this now, corporations and people. And I thought, I don't know what, something woke me up the other night, and it frightened me. I said, wait a minute, if corporations are people, this means that motherfucking Ronald McDonald can run for president.
We're not there yet. You're going to have to.
Well, yes, my ass, motherfucker.
No, we're not there yet. You still have to run Willard Romney. You can't run Bain Capital. But the practical effect is so similar as to be almost indistinguishable. But again, I go back to what I previously said. You know, the GOP finally gave in and accepted the destiny that was Willard Romney in 2012. But since then, the money has gotten better, and nobody's going to leave as long as the check's clear. And that's what makes it impossible for a Jebya to sit there and play rope-a-dope like Romney did. I mean, Jebya's become a pitiful shell of himself. If he wasn't a Bush,
oh,
I'd feel bad for him.
I can't. You know, I don't have TV. I have, you know, I'm a cord cutter. But when I see it, I feel bad. Really, I'm like, man, just everybody. It's okay, man. You'll be okay. Just take a little vacation. You'll be okay. Just say I got tired. That's all you have to do. You know what I mean? I feel sorry for him.
Yeah, no, just I don't need this, and you won't have me to kick around. You won't have Jeb Bush to kick around anymore. But Jeb's young enough to come back and maybe run in 20. Right now, my best money. Rubio is so young and so. Willfully dim that he's the emptiest suit up there.
Yep.
And that almost gives him an inside shot.
That's what they want. He's an empty vessel. That's right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, and you know, he wants us all to be welders. Well, okay, Marco, you first.
But see, this thing is so strange because you remember that game show where Monty Hall.
Monty Hall.
What's behind door number? You know, it's
yeah,
like,
and the curtain where Carol Merrill is now standing.
This is. I hate that. I really don't. I the adjective surreal is so hackneyed, but this is actually surreal to me. What's going on with this? It's surreal. But so back to the black. I just want to say one thing about black people since I'm black. I said a lot of things to build up to what I'm about to say.
Now, right.
Okay, so like I said, you know, you get educated, blah blah blah. This is, you know, you're around people and it's great and everything, but what happens is that you never take it seriously. You never take it seriously.
Well, and that leads me to a question, and it's the ultimate question following these campus threats that have come out. And I don't even want to ponder it, really. What happens if one of these pasty-faced, doughy freedom protectors really does something? Because, see, remember that little heathen in Charleston, South Carolina, who shot up the Emanuel Church and assassinated a sitting state senator and killed 8 other people. He did that hoping that the monolithic black community would rise up and start killing whitey so that they could get the race war going. And as I noted, 3 white guys in Virginia were arrested a couple of days ago trying to plot the beginning of the race war. And there are allusions to it in that screed about Howard. What happens if one of these, I'm not going to say insane or demented, what happens if one of these lawful gun owners goes awful on one of these campuses and targets people of color?
I hope we never find out.
I hope we never find out, too. Because...
But Bob...
They really do have dreams of starting something, Todd, and we'd best understand that.
Well, that's messed up.
They want a reason to start... They want to start shooting, and then they want to start shooting back. I mean, it's the same model as the Civil War. The Union had done absolutely nothing to the South. And then, lo and behold, General Pierre Gustave Tuton Beauregard yelled, "Fire!" And the boys from the Citadel touched off the cannon there and lit up Fort Sumter and hollered, "We're under attack! Glory!"
Oh, our poor veterans. I didn't know how seriously these people took this stuff, man. I mean, I remember in college, man, I started college down here a couple of years. And one of my friends, his mom was in the Daughters of the Confederacy. He's a nice guy. I'm like, really? And I was like, man, really? He's like, yeah, I might be there. I'm like, but you seem so normal. He's like, yeah, but that. And then, you know, I didn't have the heart to tell him, like, well, but you know there were these traitors, right? So, you know, I try to keep it copacetic or whatever. But, you know, this is what I don't understand. Now, here, I have a question for you. And we all know that white people are not monolithic. And, you know, just because I say black people are not, you don't have to believe me. Just talk to some people. But I want to know why a lot of white people feel like, well, you know, but I just had it. These people are just on my nerves. They got equal rights, and they get the food stamps, and they got this vaccinated housing. Why don't they just shut up and be happy? What the fuck? I'm having a hard time, too. Why don't they just shut up? They got to have the black this and the black that. Oh, and every time I turn around.
Yeah, we ain't got no white history month. Where's our white history month?
Why don't they just get the fuck out? Why don't they just go back to Africa? Oh, but wait a minute. Most of Jimmy have been here longer than me. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that. No, all right, I said that. Go ahead.
No, I get your point.
So what's up with that?
It's an origin thing. It's an origin thing because white Europeans come here, and they're vastly outnumbered from the minute they set foot on this soil, and they get busy on a genocide of the locals, but then they realize that they get too sick to work the land because of the seasoning, and so they start importing, and the locals don't seem to be too amenable to being enslaved. And so consequently, and this plays out all up and down the continent. This plays out with the Portuguese in Brazil. It plays out with the Spanish in Mexico. It plays out with the English in North America. The locals are not willing to be enslaved. So you go and you kidnap a few tens of thousands of people, and you separate them culturally because you got a whole bunch of people speaking a whole bunch of different languages, but the only thing you know is that they're all black. And you bring them over here, and the only way to survive is to work.
But the whole
time, the white from the very beginnings, white folks were terrified of a slave uprising. That's why the Second Amendment exists, okay? And that's why all of this exists. It's the origins of white privilege. It's the origins of white paranoia. It's the origins of white hatred. And there's a pretty good storehouse of guilt, acknowledged and tucked away as well.
But you know, most black people see this as a thing. Yeah, like, all right, I don't think you answered my question. I mean, to my satisfaction, but whatever. But I don't. I know you're trying, but you know, and I think a lot of white people are scared of black people because for some reason, like black people just want to be left alone. And just treat us equally and treat us on our merit. Honest to God, that's the truth. Because even in elections, like educated black people, it doesn't matter if a Republican, Democrat, frog, whatever. If you speak, you know, if you're saying the right things about the issues, you know, you're going to get voted for. But why? Well, anyway, I guess it all comes down to...
Everybody, look. Everybody wants to get their feet in the trough, okay? White folks, black folks, everybody wants to get their feet in the trough to one degree or another. I mean, you know, they want to feel like they've got, you know, they've got maybe a little bit of a head start. And a lot of white paranoia comes from the fact that they feel that they're terrified because it looks like, and I think we can talk about this in the context of the white male suicide generation. We can talk about it in the context of white people complaining about welfare, Ronald Reagan's creation of the welfare queen with the brand new Cadillac, all of that. It's an assault on privilege.
Yeah.
I mean,
It's hard to give up free gold, isn't it?
Well, it's harder still to acknowledge privilege. Especially if you don't feel particularly privileged. Nobody's walking around Bob Jones University. Nobody's posting. I'm going to start shooting the first white person I see. Okay, that's not happening.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. That, like, for some reason,
and I'm not saying that it should.
No, but I, you know, a lot, most, for the most part, black people are vindictive. Like, in other words, a lot of white people are scared of black people because they look, I think, I mean, that's what a lot of black people think. I tend to think it sometimes. They look at black folks like, you know, downtrodden black people, like, oh, I should be scared of them because if I was them, I'd be mad as hell. You know, somebody stepping on
yes,
my neck.
Yes, transference, absolutely.
But you see, we're not like that. We're just like, all right, it happens. Just, we look, you know, just stop fucking with it. You know?
Hey, Todd, I'm going to roll on because I know there are other people who want to get on here, but
yes,
it's been a fantastic
absolutely.
Conversation. It really, really has.
Bob, everybody loves you, and that's all I have to say. Hi, everybody. Period.
All right. You take care, Todd.
All right.
See you, brother. 19 minutes past the hour, and it's been almost nonstop conversation after the close of the filibuster. Well, it has been nonstop conversation. And so I'd like to take a moment here on this Thorn in the Side Thursday to point out or to note that, yeah, we make this all happen by listener contributions, and we've got $240 to go. That's 10 at 24, 24 at 10, 1 at 240, 2 at 120, 4 at 60, 8 at 30, 16 at 15, 32 at 750. The interface is at PayPal, assuming it's working, and that's disturbing because it... Or, look, you can always just go to PayPal and then use bobkincaid at gmail.com as the PayPal address because that's the Horn's PayPal address. Okay? And there he is. The Angry Indian is with us. Hey, Angry, what's happening?
Hey, my man. Interesting conversation you just had with that brother.
Todd is always interesting.
That was pretty interesting because it sounds just like every fucking thing I've been saying to you, you know.
Well, I mean, and by the way, tell me where else this conversation takes place. I mean,
let me see. Outside of Black Holmes.
Well, okay. Broadcast wise, I mean.
Broadcast wise,
yeah, nowhere. It doesn't.
Maybe Mike Malloy's show.
Yeah, Malloy. Yeah.
That's about it. I mean, Tom Hartman tries, but, you know, he also gives fair time to Klansmen. You know, not that I'm blaming him, because he's trying to be fair. You know, he's using equal time, you know, intelligence. But you're not going to get that in the current media thing, because, you know, you'd actually have to think about what you're listening to. You know, even though he didn't challenge that man as much as I wanted him to, but what can be done? But anyway, did you see that last piece that I sent you about what Trump had to say about the...
I just clicked on it. According to him, what's going on at the University of Missouri is what, disgusting?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, not the feces swastika part.
Oh, no. He had nothing to say about that. Nobody in the GOP has had anything to say about any of that. They've had nothing to say about that. And of course, they're not going to. It's not in their interest. It's not to their benefit. They're ignoring it all. I mean, they just finished saying that Americans make too much money. The blue-collar people, anyway. You're making too much. And according to Ben Carson, if you raise the minimum wage, if you raise, you know, wages, it doesn't help. It hurts the black community. You know, we can get more jobs if we're paid less.
Right.
This is the logic.
If we're all just making $5 an hour, there's a lot more room for more people to make $5 an hour.
You know, my last show was damn near just on Ben Carson. You know, Ben Carson does not fucking speak for me or any other goddamn black man in North America. You know, I mean, I can't. Well, aside from Armstrong Williams, who he must be paying at least $250,000, or Armstrong Williams wouldn't be working with. You know, Carson is the type of Uncle Tom, and I'm going to say that because that's what he is. He's the type of Uncle Tom, he'll work for free because he's going to go on from this moment until the end of his his time on this mortal coil. He's going to remind everybody that he was the number one GOP front runner at one point. Right? You know,
and the GOP will remind people as well because they'll say, see, we had one of those for a front runner once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But in the meantime, you know, while he and Trump are going back and forth, you know, which was, you know, that entire, I can't, you know, I don't know how you or anybody else is able to sit through these goddamn GOP quasi-debates. They're stupid. They're embarrassing the country. They're stupid. Every European I know that lives in the States, you know, by me. It's like, you know, I'm so glad I don't really live here, you know. You know, except for the ones that are married to Americans and are like, I'm stuck here. You know, I mean, that's how they're speaking to me. You know, they look at this in the entire goddamn political field and they're just like, what the fuck? You know, We didn't have this back in the fucking Eastern Bloc, one of my fucking friends. Because she remembers all of this. She's like, nah, it wasn't this ridiculous under Ceausescu, you know, because she's Romanian. She's like, it wasn't that bad under him in terms of the stupidity. She said we had absurdity, which is very different.
Well, that's a different animal.
You know.
Altogether.
I mean, the United States is on record as far back as World War II as being a country full of irrational people. I just watched a documentary yesterday at somebody's house called American Jesus on how you got biker church, trucker church, cowboy church, circus church, gang church. You know, everybody found Jesus and everybody, you know, somehow still finds a loophole for, you know, whatever it is they like to do, right? You know, whatever they like to do. But what everybody else likes to do, well, that's immoral, that's freaky, that's against God, that's close to Satan.
Yeah, I saw a suggestion on Facebook earlier today. What we need is a reality show where some of these God-botherers and Bible-bangers agree to live for a year under the laws of the Old Testament that they want the rest of us to live under so they can show us how neat and hip and keen and groovy and cool it is.
So they're going to start wearing one cloth at a time, right?
Yeah.
No living on hills. All these Christian tattoos?
No damn shrimp.
No seafood. Well, hey, no pork. Christians aren't supposed to eat pork.
Ooh-wee.
You know, when my Muslim friends say, hey, swine eater, right? They're not just talking about, you know, people who are not Muslim, they're talking about the Christians who are complete hypocrites around them.
Well, I don't know how many times I've said on this program, no matter what nobility I find in faith systems, any faith system where God is going to be mad at me for what's on my menu, sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all know when we can be objective and calm down and forget that people like Ben Carson exist. And his whole, I mean, the fact that he's Seventh-day Adventist and he's even being taken seriously by these evangelicals already tells you how mad everything has gotten. On how crazy everything has gotten. I mean, Trump has had Nazi imagery in his promotional work twice. He's supported by Nazis openly. He doesn't say that, you know, they need to fuck off. I don't, you know, I'm not about them. He says a lot of people like me. All kinds of people like me. Everybody likes me. I said this before, and I'm being redundant. A man was clearly beaten damn near to death and then pissed on by two motherfuckers on the East Coast. And they said Trump told us to do this. And he's faced absolutely no repercussions for this. Now he's slamming Black Lives Matter. Well, he's already slammed Black Lives Matter. But with this whole thing happening at Mizzou, he's calling the president who stepped down a punk. He's insulting all of the activists. He's basically insulting everybody that's of color on the goddamn campus and probably all of the white people who are supporting them. And I do want to say this, too, because it really isn't being discussed. There's a lot of white people standing with these students, and that needs to be acknowledged, of all ages, of all ethnicities, and of all backgrounds, because they're just tired of the bullshit. But this is Trump now, who is wavering with Ben Carson for number one. And then you have motherfucking Marco Rubio, who was a liar. He never escaped Cuba. He left Cuba. He never escaped Cuba. Okay? And he will say whatever.
Well, so last night, Harry sent me an email, and since I got you here, I want you to take a shot at it, too. That line that just sort of blew past the moderators, and if they'd been anybody at all, would have had them going, what the holy... Because when Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, said, when my father legally immigrated.
That's a lie. That's a lie. He was born in Canada, and his parents were actually illegal for quite a period while they were here. They got they got over. They got lucky. And I forgot the exact thing, but it was explained to me. You know, they said, no, he didn't come here legally. Well, look. Trump's mother was an immigrant from Scotland, and she didn't really come legally. They were trying to flood this place with as many white people as possible, but there was nothing legal about it. There was nothing legal about it. And his own, his grandparents had immigrated here from Germany. So,
when my Kincaid ancestors first got here, it was illegal to cross the Allegheny front because the English crown had an agreement with the people who already lived here that, you know, we're not going to, and that's one of the origins of the American Revolution. Is a bunch of cranky white people saying,
we're growing the tobacco. We're making these niggas, you know, fucking harvest this cotton and shit. We're producing the indigo. And we're fucking making England rich. So fuck you. You know, we're not paying you anything. Look, it's the same thing that happened in Mexico, the same thing that happened in Bolivia and every other goddamn European colonial estate. After a fucking while, they're like, wait a minute. You're not here. We're doing all of this. Mm-hmm. Fuck you.
Oh, and by the way, just as an aside, Mark just dropped me a note and said, Trump was awarded Secret Service today.
Well, look, I'm surprised it hasn't happened already because it's not going to be Ben Carson. You know that, and I know that. And if it does, it'll just be another Putney Swope moment that we'll just have to live through because we've been going through 8 years of Putney Swope already. You know, nobody really expected Obama to get this. This was a fluke. They went with him because Africa is important. Let's go back in time a little fucking bit. When John McCain was close with his running mate, Sarah the Quitter Palin, you know, well, I can't do what I want as governor, so I'm just quitting.
Yeah, the right? Half-term half-wit, right.
You know, I can't control my kids. You know, I got one son in the military because he was vandalizing buses. I got another daughter who can't keep her legs closed while I'm talking morality and shit. And my son is getting Indian medical fucking welfare from the Alaska system that's supposed to benefit natives because her husband can trace some ancestry. But she's taking a fucking handout, though, for her special needs child, which I'm not about denying anybody who needs fucking help anything. But see, she'll deny my motherfucking family aid after all the goddamn taxes we've paid, you see? And I can't get cops to motherfucking respect me, all right? Because they're tasering my people 20 fucking times within a 30-minute fucking period and don't understand why the nigga died, you know?
Okay, so let me ask you the same question I asked Todd. What happens if one of these dumb bastards follows through on one of these threats?
With rich dumb bastard, we got a whole lot.
One of these lawful white gun owners.
Oh, you mean like those three idiots? They got this.
No, what if one of these people follows through on these threats against these college students who simply want to be able to go potty? You know, good cop. Damn it! You know the right wing's out there worrying about. You know, I'm afraid Granny's going to go in the potty and see a drag queen. Well,
what does she does?
Well, okay, exactly that. Why can't they get up? Why can't they seem to work up a good give a damn about somebody who just wants to use the restroom and goes in there and finds a swastika smeared on the wall in feces?
Because it's hurting the feelings of the Negroes. That's why it's okay. We're looking at
because what? They don't have, because black people don't have feelings, or black people deserve to have their feelings hurt, or
Brother Bob, go to psychologytoday.com. There was a study released earlier this year that they asked a bunch of white people from coast to coast, do you feel that black people experience pain? And more than what's it? I don't want to quote the number because I don't want anybody to whatever, but look at it. An overwhelming majority said that they don't believe that African people have the same pain tolerance, that somehow we can take pain, we can take discomfort, we can take these problems and just move on. You know, supposedly black people don't commit suicide. That's bullshit. I've heard that said about natives too. Oh, Indian people don't commit suicide. What the fuck are you talking about? Well, you might do slow suicide because you drink the day. It's like, fuck you, man. What the fuck you mean we don't commit suicide? What the fuck are you talking about? You know, it's the idea, and it's not that these people believe this. I've been fighting fucking Nazis for more than two goddamn decades. They don't believe the shit that they're saying. They say it over and over so that they fucking believe it. Because if they were really that goddamn superior, they wouldn't fucking act like this. It's like if you read the Judeophobic literature of the fucking far right, and you can go to Alex Jones and find a lot of that shit. When you read it, somebody else has said this. it looks like they're talking about a Superman. Oh, they control all of the banks. They control all of the governments. They control all of the media. Well, then, you know, the white man doesn't have a chance. We're totally, you know, under their thumb. Well, then, I mean, well, goddamn then. You know, this is about your personal fucking ego, isn't it? Because you've convinced yourself that because you don't have any fucking thing, that because you're not the goddamn king somewhere, that because when you watch TV, you see other white people who have more than you have, and when you look down the fucking road, you see somebody with a better car, a better looking fucking wife, and a better job. And you can't say to yourself, well, you know, I'm not up to the mark. I'm maybe inadequate. I just don't have it. No, it's the Jews. It's the blacks. It's the Asians that come in.
It's everybody but your own sorry ass.
Well, I'm saying that because I just wrote a fucking book about this shit. Well, I was trying to write a book and I put the notes out. F is for fascism. And what I found out was, you know, in looking at this is what I had suspected. I couldn't believe that fascism could only be found in Europe. And when you look around, fascism is all over the fucking world. When you have a small goddamn group of people who want to maintain what the fuck they have, they institute systems in which they have the sole amount of power. The only thing that changes that is when you have a mass unity of people who understand what the fuck is going on, understand their position, and they work together to change it. Now, that's the democratic way of fucking doing it. To convince the leadership, be it through Magna Carta, be it through the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights or whatever, that we're not going to fight about this. We're going to talk about this. And even though the Bill of Rights is really bullshit and still maintain the rights of landowners over people who didn't own land and what have you, the situation is the same all, you know, no matter where you look around the world. And they all use religion and they all use fucking violence and they all use a rewriting of history. The Taliban is fascist. When they took over Afghanistan, they destroyed all of the Buddhist fucking monuments and temples and all, what was left
just,
of the laity.
Just like the so-called Islamic State
is doing
has
right
blown
now,
the living hell out of the magnificent ruins at Palmyra.
Yeah, which is fascist. They're destroying even Islam. Islamic monuments and temples and artifacts and what have you that predate their existence. The same thing Hitler did. He took German history and rewrote it. And Himmler did his best to, you know, try to connect Germans and Germany to the Germania who were not really German, but who ran in that area, but who ran into the Romans, right? You know, the Roman Empire. You know, they tried to attach Atlantis, the Holy Grail, all of this crapola. The Japanese did the same thing. The Chinese, for a brief period, did the same thing. You know, I mean, we can look in South America, Africa. I mean, we've seen this before. But what is really scary about what's going on in the United States right now is that we're in this position because of capitalism. And what I mean by that is you've had other people on the show who have talked about Edward Bernays and how, you know, psychology was used to get people to buy. He took his relative Freud's information, especially where it relates to sex. Freud was wrong. Freud was not wrong. That was a lie that was spread by Bernays to mask the fact that they were using sexuality to sell cars, to sell cigarettes.
This soap.
Is bullshit that you don't need.
Which goes back. Oh, by the way, you didn't mean to, but you just made the duck fall down. We made it to 8:36 p.m. without mentioning that guy's name. no worries, man. But
sorry.
No, that's okay. I'll send you a bill. You know, you talk about the elimination of history, and we all know what a Mesoamerican prehistory nerd I am. The Mexica people did the same thing. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Mayans also.
This is like verifiable, because when the Mexica people moved into the Valley of Mexico, it was already well settled.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the crummy real estate, and their first great revered speaker said, "Burn the books. We're starting all over." And they wrote this outlandish history of how the Mexica people were the awesomest people who had ever wandered into the Valley of Mexico. I mean, it blew my mind when I found that out.
Well, you know why? Because they were conquerors. That's why Hitler and Himmler, because it was the two of them, basically, who were trying to rewrite this stuff, they decided to take the Aryan from India, the whole Indo-European thing. They said, okay, we can trace the language there. Okay. Where are the supermen? Let's send some people to Tibet. Let's go to India and let's see where the supermen come. And they took the whole concept of Aryan and made it European. and specifically Germanic, you know, Teutonic. They went, you know, as far back as possible. I mean, what you had Hans Jür, Guido von Liszt, you know, Madame Helena Blavatsky, even though she was a Russian, her books were very popular in Germany. And she was also, you know, she didn't like Jews, right? So that appealed to them. And this idea
Well, in point of fact, that thing that got drawn on the restroom wall in Columbia, Missouri, that comes out of Indian mythology.
Mm-hmm.
So,
from a lot of different cultures.
And it had
nothing, you know, negative about it. The swastika is not a negative system. I mean, swastika itself means good fortune. But the runes, which are not negative, were misappropriated and co-opted by the Nazi Party. The swastika was misappropriated and co-opted by the Nazi Party. Spiritualism was told, there was a book called The Coming Race, which was a fantasy book. It was a fantasy book, but they believed it to be true. This is how the type of mentality that you can link to the current GOP / Tea Party / American Nazi goddamn corporatist party, because that's what they are. They take a fantasy, and because it appeals to their ego, doesn't appeal to rational thought. It appeals to their ego. I'm important. I'm in charge of the world. What do they keep saying at that debate? The U.S. must lead. Why must the U.S.
Oh, and there was a dog whistle there that I caught right away. When I forget who it was that said, and if we do this, we'll have a truly American century.
Because we haven't had already. Right? You know.
Yeah.
The United States has controlled the entire fucking planet since the end of World War II.
But let me go back. Let me go back, Angry, because the question I asked is, if one of these freedom protectors, one of these upstanding Bible believing God loving etc., follows through on one of these threats against children,
because, white children or black children?
No, black children. You know, the threats at Mizzou, the threats at Howard. What happens in the aftermath of something like that? Because I can't help but think back to Charleston, and I think specifically of Ta-Nehisi Coates' response to it, because he was a little put out with the response after Charleston that, well, you know, Dr. King would just want us to sit here and take it like we are.
Yeah.
Obviously, terrified white America is rolling at pretty much a full boil right now. I mean, obviously, I'm not. But the people who want to take their country back and run around with their urine-colored snake flags, well, they're just rowing the boat out on the gasoline ocean and smoking cigarettes.
Well, see, but one way that can stop, you know, from it getting this goddamn far, because there was a father after that young woman was totally brutalized by that goddamn cop in Texas, where she was flipped and thrown across the room, and this goddamn teacher standing there watching this and assisting him by keeping the students, by staring them down, basically. Because if you look at the students, they're completely frozen. They're mm-hmm. completely frozen. They don't know what to do. They know that this motherfucking cop is wrong, but they don't know what to do. And here's two motherfucking adults who didn't say a goddamn word in terms of, what the fuck are you doing? You get off her. What the fuck are you doing? And then report his ass. But they didn't do that. So, you know, in the aftermath of that, there was a public meeting. Now, this is on YouTube, and I believe I sent you the link last week when I saw this, of a black father who said that this girl wasn't my daughter, but she might as well have been, because I'm a black man and she's black. This was at a public hearing now, saying this before the city council and the local police department. He said, if that was my daughter, I'm quoting him now. He said, if that was my daughter, the least that this cop would have had to worry about is being fired, because he hadn't been fired at that point. He was only on suspension with pay, I might add. He said, you're doing this to us. He says, you know, our sons are not safe. Our husbands are not safe. Our wives are not safe. You got a cop on trial right now for raping black women primarily in the state of Oklahoma. And he was doing it with impunity. And white women in that state donated money to bail him out and pay for his goddamn legal fees. That's how much they care about goddamn women and black women in the state of Oklahoma. Okay? So, you know, when we look at this, and what this father said was, you're pushing us to defend our goddamn families. And then they, you know, whoever the moderator was like, hey, you know, we don't want to make any threats here. He goes, I'm not making a threat. He says, I'm laying it out for you. He said, I'm saying what the majority of black men in here are too afraid to say. He said, you don't fuck with my goddamn children. You don't fuck with our children. Now, our kids are already being fucking brutalized by cops. Tamir Rice was only 12 fucking years old. Where was the, you know, where were all these black men who talk all kinds of shit, who stand around yelling at white people on the street corners in larger cities, wearing camouflage and claiming to be Islamic Hebrews and what have you? Where are they? Where is the Nation of Islam? Where's the new Black Panther Party? See, these are all loudmouths.
I know where the new Black Panther Party is. It's alive and well inside the fever swamp imagination of Bill O'Reilly and his viewers.
Well, they exist, but they're a black fascist organization. I'm calling them what the fuck they are because that is what they are. They're using the term Black Panther Party, but they have nothing to do. And they've already been disowned and discredited by anybody who is still alive and can speak, because we have Brother Albert Woodfox, one of our generals, who was still sitting in isolation 41 motherfucking years in the United States, the land of the free and the home of the brave, under a black president and a black attorney general, the second one, and he can't say anything. Nobody can say anything. And they're trying him again for a trial in which he's already been cleared. See, in a lockup here where the motherfucking warden says, I'm not letting him go, because he's been cleared for release 3 times. And the warden decided, I'm not going to let him go until he renounces the Black Panther Party. I'm not going to let him go. And we got a black president that says nothing. And we have a black attorney general that says nothing. We've had Colin Powell and he said nothing. Condoleezza Rice has said nothing. Uncle Ben Carson won't say a goddamn thing. Because he's running from the fucking lynching bastards his goddamn self by selling the rest of us the fuck out. So my answer to your question is what that father said. I'm not saying that people should arm up, but there's people talking about that because they're getting tired of it. But the thing about it is that there's no, you know, concept of like, you know, self-defense so much. I agree with you because I know what's going through your mind, Brother Bob. It's going to get out of hand. Somebody's going to be
scared.
Out of anger. It's
look,
gonna get
as far
out of
as, hand. No, that's the whole point, Angry. As far as I'm concerned, it already is out of hand.
Yeah, but see, here's the defining line, though. It's been out of hand for a few goddamn years. We just had a bunch of people, my Gullah people, murdered in a motherfucking church in an act of terrorism that is not being defined as an act of terrorism. That motherfucker was allowed to eat fast food while they questioned him. In the meantime, a brother was fucking tased 20 goddamn times within a half-hour period, and the police are confused as to how he died. We had another brother who died suffocated in the back of a goddamn police car. This is on film. All of those men are still on the motherfucking job. Sergeant James Brown turned himself in for a DUI and wound up dead in the state of Texas. How many fuck Sandra Bland? They're trying to now squash all of the civil fucking cases.
Oh yeah, they've moved to dismiss. But I know a lot of people will see that and feel some certain amount of outrage. But for the lawyer, and look, I'm not defending, okay? But for the lawyer for the county not to make a Rule 12 motion to dismiss on the front end of all of this would be legal malpractice. So before anybody gets outraged about it, understand that much of it is just pleading in practice. It's just litigation. And in fact, losing that Rule 12 motion will be the front end toward what will eventually be a wrongful death settlement, okay? Because I sincerely doubt it'll go to trial. There's just too much weirdness there.
But we really don't know. You had this prosecutor McCullough bring in a witness who was not there, who didn't see anything. But you know, we really want to hear what everybody has to say. So we're going to
That's grand jury stuff. That's not civil suit stuff.
But I'm just saying, for black people, the process is we can't get justice. You see, we can't get justice. You can play by the rules, and it doesn't motherfucking matter. And we got a black president who was standing up for Israel, but he can't stand up for his own people. He stood up for the gay community, but he hasn't stood up for his own people.
Right, because he would be an angry member. I mean, look, when he said when I saw Trayvon Martin, that could just as well have been my son. The right wing outrage machine got cranked up to 11.
Yeah, but Brother Bob, they're gonna say whatever the fuck he says. They're gonna say something anyway. He could fucking get baptized a second fucking time on live goddamn camera
and have Joel Osteen do it. I know.
And it wouldn't matter, okay?
But angry, this much does matter. And what that is that, you know, when I said, when you say it, you know, it wouldn't, but I can't help but think that somebody is aware in that administration of what a powder keg they're sitting on.
Oh yeah, they do. But they're going to be out soon. So,
and you know what? The man is never, please believe me, the man is never going to be safe in the United States so long as he lives after he's done being president. I mean, all ex-presidents get Secret Service protection. But this one is going to need it, I don't know, maybe doubled down. I mean, I wouldn't blame Barack Obama if he decided to go and live in France or you know, maybe he'd be safe in Hawaii. Maybe he'll put his legacy library in Hawaii. He's reasonably safe there. But I'm not defending and I'm not excusing. Do you understand? I'm not. But they've got to know. I mean, for instance, I got a note here from Ron in the Unfrozen North. Angry, he says, "I still hold the probably naive opinion that most white folks who own guns in the United States will be afraid to use them when push comes to shove. They love the rhetoric, don't want to look out of step with their foaming at the mouth neighbors, but they won't actually use all those 300 million weapons." Of course, Ron continues, if 0.3% are all nutbar crazy, that's 1 million plus guns out there being held by lunatics.
I'll put it to you this way. Democracy Now! Is the only news agency that did the reporting on this, and they should be praised for this. You not only had the Danziger Bridge incident where police, for no goddamn reason, shot three fucking men and then tried to cover up what they did and tried to destroy the goddamn bodies and shit, okay? They're going through an appeal right now. Democracy Now! Got video of people who lived down there, white folks who lived down there, because remember, Blackwater did the only gun grab under Republican administration I can goddamn think of, under any goddamn administration. Blackwater operated on fucking U.S. soil, disarming black and Latino people who had firearms, whether they were licensed or not, in the New Orleans area after Katrina. I haven't heard anybody from the NRA or any of these motherfucking constitutionalists say a fucking word about that. But these people are on film. You can go on YouTube. You can go to democracynow.org and look at their reportage on this, who admitted to shooting and killing black people who came through their neighborhood. There was a motherfucker who said, "I used to be a northerner. I'm a southerner now." And the bitch sitting next to him, and I'm saying it like that, she said, while she's holding her goddamn beer, saying he knows what nigga means now. He's been here long enough. He knows what it is now. We were just protecting ourselves. And there has not been a goddamn investigation. There has never been an investigation on this. Because they knew that they could get away with it. You had an ex-police chief who just shot a man in a goddamn movie theater who was checking on his children because he didn't turn off his fucking phone fast enough to suit him. And he shot this man for no motherfucking reason.
And he's going to mount a stand your ground defense.
Let me throw
one out here. You mentioned the behavior of the Trump followers, and you know what happened with the Latino protesters in what, Virginia? Well, I guess he spoke at an event in Illinois. Trump did, and a woman who is a community college student
by the name of Johari Osai Irusuyi got in line to see him. She didn't heckle him. She didn't do anything. She said, I want to see this guy. He's running for president. You don't get that chance every day. And she and a couple of friends were placed conspicuously behind Trump, and she said, I think we were chosen for obvious reasons. We're minorities, and there weren't a lot of minorities there. He also instructed us to sit in the middle, so we kind of already knew what this was. In other words, she was sharp enough to realize she was being tokenized. Okay? Well, she pushes back sort of, you know, passively, and decides to and takes out a book that she's reading and puts it in front of her face. And lo and behold, white folks start reaching over and tapping her on her shoulder and telling her to put her book down because she's being disrespectful to Trump. And the one guy kind of, the hubby let it go, but she reports, the woman kept saying, if you don't want to be here, then leave. You didn't even stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. And she said, I do want to be here. That's why I'm here. You don't know who I am. I'm reading my book because I'm uninterested. Did you not just see what happened? The person disrespects women, minorities, everybody, and you're still supporting him? He's not saying anything of substance. But lo and behold, those goddamn Trump supporters were going to try to bully her into putting her book down. Meanwhile, at the same event, a woman with an Obama hat on had her hat torn off her head and thrown into the crowd to the cheers of the mob.
And was anybody arrested?
No, hell no.
Yeah, see? That's why I'm saying to, you know, homeboy in Alaska, yeah, I got a lot to worry about if it gets to that point, because a whole lot of white people. We just had two police unions. One in New York City, of all fucking places, saying that they're at war with the black community. Then you had another one. I can't remember the state he was in, who wrote a fucking open letter saying that we want the community to know that we might need your help because of these Black Lives Matter people, and we might have to go that extra mile. We might have to go that far. What did he say? I'm quoting him. He said, this is coming from the heart, that we're tired of being pushed around by these black activists. Now, what are the black activists complaining about? Being murdered, being shot to death, being tasered to death, being
lynched,
beaten to death.
You know, lynched.
You know, right? Being picked up for no motherfucking reason. You know how many black men in this country have lost their jobs for being stopped? Where's your ID? Where are you going? Where do you live?
You show up for work, and why were you pulled over?
Hey, Bob, I've never known a white man yet that's told me that he carries two fucking check stubs in his fucking wallet to prove that he has a job in case he gets stopped by the fucking cops. See, motherfuck the GOP and motherfuck Ben Carson and Armstrong Williams. Well, we already got his motherfucking number. He could be bought for $250,000. That slave, we already know his price. That's what the Bush administration gave him. $250,000 to sell out the entire goddamn black community to remove our schools in place of these fucking charter schools. So, you know, we know who the sellouts are. We know who they are. But see, but then...
And it begins, that article you pointed out to me at the beginning of the program, there's Donald comparing Ben Carson to a child molester.
And now, you know what that, you know what happens with that.
It's
once
on.
Labeled with that, there's no defense. What are you going to say? I'm not one? You know, especially right now, they just caught a Secret Service motherfucker for texting somebody who's underage. From the White House.
Oh, yeah.
How many motherfuckers have they gotten from Homeland Security for that type of shit? How many motherfuckers are they finding in the military? You know, I mean, come on, man. Come on. So he's going to paint him with that because he knows that for Ben Carson, there's no comeback from that one. He put that out there. The conspiracy theorists will fucking take that. Because the people who believe that black men are all sexual fucking predators will believe that.
And we got to get out of here fairly quickly. But there's an element there as well, Angry, that Trump, all he is doing is punking the whole field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was
and they're loving it.
Yeah, well, and you know what? There's Schadenfreude involved, and I can do me some Schadenfreude. But I do. I gotta get out of here. What an awesome evening. You and Thomas and Todd have helped make for me here. I really do appreciate it because it was a tough climb into the chair this evening, and you certainly have made it well worthwhile. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on, man. And please, whatever you guys can do to keep this man on the air, please. You know, I know we're all having a hard time and we're trying to squeeze, but if you can give up a couple of coins to keep Kincaid on the air, I'd really appreciate it.
Otherwise, I'll have to go and be a welder. And I don't think they'll let me. Take it easy, Angry. See ya. Our buddy, the Angry Indian, it is time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody. We had something near, well, astounding happen. We cleared the hurdle for fundraising this evening. Thank you, Paul. Thank you very, very kindly. And so Friday on the front porch tomorrow, shall we gather at the virtual river that we call the Horn Malloy Skype chat group? Let's do. Thanks again, everybody. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.